much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, and I am gonna scare the heck out of you. What is this?
If you don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Lois, don't. You don't know who's out there.
Trick or treat!
Check out the mass murderers, Barb.
Is today Halloween?
Tomorrow. These little monsters are just getting a jump on the competition.
I don't have any candy.
That's okay, Miss Pizer. We'll come back tomorrow.
And now.
What are you dressed as?
An adult with dignity.
Well, whatever it is, it's terrifying.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 30th of Rocktober.
It's Halloween.
Right.
It's a trick or treat time.
By the way, two Armenian comedian Halloween songs that I have never heard before turned up on my machine this morning.
Oh.
What? Do you remember Armenian songs?
I don't remember the one you just played, no.
Well, we're just barely scratching the surface here.
It's Halloween in America.
Why are we gathering around?
Well, it's Halloween time in America.
Right. Oh,
come on.
Do you sense that, as is the case with so many Sam songs, that this was written before he began to sing? Or
No.
He's just riffing, right?
Yeah, he's just winging it.
Okay.
To be your own characters.
I mean, he's not wrong. You do dress up as your own characters on Halloween, right?
Right.
Like Superman or a Batwoman.
I hope he lists them all.
Superman or a bag woman?
Bat?
Oh, it's Batwoman. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he said bad woman.
Yeah. It's who could tell with Sam.
Who could tell?
Is there a Batwoman alley? Is that a thing?
Sure.
There's a Batgirl.
Spider-Man
Wonder Woman.
Man or Snow White. Go around to the houses saying trick or treat.
All right. Do we want more of this?
Yeah. No.
Or do you want some of the other song?
Oh, God.
That's the choice. Same argument that we always have, and that's that I am always a yes, and then everyone else, including our audience, is pretty much always a no.
Well, let's see if he turns it around. I mean, this song has not been great so far.
He's known for turning it around.
Right.
Trick or treat!
There it is.
He does bring it with a recorder.
By the way, good morning, everybody. Hope you're enjoying it. All right, let's switch over to the other one. I don't know what the other song's all about, but here it is, Armenian comedian, take two.
I'm Sam, the Armenian comedian. It's time for a Halloween. I'm Sam, the Armenian comedian. I want to make you scream. Because I'm scaring you like a skeleton. Because I have something big in my pants.
Okay, I don't know where that
Oh, my God.
That's my favorite.
That just happened.
Let's hear more of that.
I don't hate that one.
Let's hear more.
Well, because Halloween is for the kids, so that's appropriate.
Right.
Sure.
Come on, Sam.
Might be Halloween time, but for my ladies, it's Halloweeny time. I want to.
Oh, it's Halloweeny time,
right?
This is Sam's come on for the holiday. Wow, very impressive.
Hunt you little kitty. Come here, little kitty, because you're so pretty. I am Sam, the spooky one. I want to shoot you with my crutch gun.
Okay. All right, that's a little too on the point, isn't it?
Wow.
Shoot you with my crotch gun.
I mean, does that not strike him? Even him as a little creepy?
Why is Ali enjoying this one so much, by the way?
Because this one's great.
It is great. They're all great.
So we panned the river forever, and we finally came up with a little tiny flake of gold, it sounds like.
Correct.
I want to buy
cut you in the neck. Then I will make some baklava so we can eat it.
Sure.
Okay. See, I'm going to bite you and then make some baklava and then we can eat.
Like you do.
All right. Good plan so far.
Oh, it's so spooky on Halloween. Oh, I'm so bold. I look like Mr. Clean. Oh, come on, baby. Let me cut your hair. Come on, baby. I won't give you a scare.
I mean, it's a story. It rhymes.
He may have written this one ahead of time for the first time ever. Maybe.
All right. You want any more?
Yeah. Yes.
Always.
Oh, it's Halloween. And I want to tell you a joke before you croak. Why the pumpkin has a dumb face?
Why the pumpkin has a dumb face?
Okay.
That's a question.
Is the joke, apparently. Why does the pumpkin have a dumb face? I got nothing.
No.
All right.
Because the brain and the seeds are of the skull.
Anyone?
I don't even know what he said.
Because something the brain are the seeds and the skull?
Hold on. Let's try it again.
Maybe.
Why the pumpkin has a dumb face? Because the brain and the seeds are of the skull.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
Because the brain is the seeds out of the skull. So his brains aren't in his face. Are
nice.
Out of, what?
Maybe close with the crotch gun and leave the joke out, maybe.
Maybe.
I'm not right. Positive the crotch gun is where you
almost done. Go. There you go. All right. Happy Halloween, everybody.
I guarantee there's a lot of lightning in that one. I'm sure he wrote a bunch of it. Well, you can hear some of the production or Omar, where he's singing over himself in the background.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that one was definitely a more professional effort than the first one, which was kind of just a riff. But how's that for a little holiday present, by the way? A couple of new Armenian comedian songs we didn't even know we had.
I mean, I think let's just play those all morning.
I think present is strong.
Hey, spring training starts today at noon.
Yeah.
Baseball players being asked, pitchers and catchers being asked to report today at noon. What? How? The what? Huh?
I don't.
Are we going to survive this World Series, you guys?
Not sure.
It's fairly exhausting. And I'm not even playing in it.
You're exhausted just watching?
As a viewer, it's exhausting. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I don't know if it's so much exhausting as the most exciting World Series that ever was. But sure, it's taken a long time for these games to finish. And for someone that hates baseball and kind of got a little bit into the spirit, Kevin Ryder, this must be a lot for you.
It was a long, long, long.
It was long for anybody last
game.
Night.
Oh, sure.
If you love baseball, it was way too long.
One of the best games I've ever seen.
Yeah. Incredible.
I wish it would have ended differently.
Yeah.
But, one of the best games I've ever seen.
What did it end up being? 5 hours and like 19 minutes or something like that?
It could still be going on for all I know. I'm not sure.
It might be.
I know we'll be talking about it a lot later. We don't need to get into it here. But the stat that stuck with me last night is when...
Five hours and 19 minutes?
No.
Oh.
22 home runs in the World Series. The stat that stuck with me is when Clayton Kershaw has a four-run lead, he is... 101. That's his record.
He's 101 years old?
No. He's 100 wins, one loss in his career with a four-run lead.
And that was last night, I assume.
And last night was the second time that's happened.
Oh, second. Okay.
Or it was the first. I don't know. I just saw his record was 101. I don't know if that meant updated as of last night. Hmm. You pretty much win the game when Clayton Kershaw's on the mound. You get a four-run lead. What I'm saying is none of that happened after that should have happened last night.
Yeah, it was insane.
It's just crazy. So let's all take our breath today. Try again tomorrow.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
I don't think that is necessary, really, do you?
Going to talk to Matt Money-Smith about that game. Mm-hmm. Got Andrew Siciliano on the program today from the NFL Network talking about NFL Week 8.
Did you have a bye, Kevin?
I did.
I did not. Okay.
I did, yeah.
So you did not lose this week.
Played in, lost last week 33-0 in London.
Yeah.
And got a week off.
The Dolphins dream of losing only 33-0.
Right.
What was their score Thursday night, Chip?
40-0.
Right.
She's but not amused.
I think we've got wings all around other than you guys. No, I think Allie's got wings. Rob's got wings. Dave's got wings.
No, what do I? Wings. Do I not get wings for a bye week?
I don't
How does
think
that
so.
Work?
I think you I think you should go to bed hungry. Wing.
I didn't lose.
A wing?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you one of mine.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you. You were married three or more times.
Hmm.
We're going to talk about today. That's based on A-Rod and J-Lo. And I think it's J-Lo's
fourth.
I think so.
And we were just asking, at what point do you think, you know, maybe it's not for you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So we'll talk about that today. We'll also check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do. And we've got Judd Apatow in the program as well.
Nice.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with... LNOC's alternative rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
I like that cake, by the way.
Chuck!
I don't play them very often.
Same.
Like them.
What?
Chuck!
Chuck?
What?
Chuck.
Okay.
The theme from Chuck, was it?
Oh.
Didn't they use that as the theme
song?
Oh,
was remember. It now?
Huh.
I think you could be right.
Huh.
Could
Good
be.
Pull.
Could be.
Good pull, Ralph.
Chuck!
Right. Been a while.
Right.
Hey, it's 5:54 Monday morning. That's the voice of Ralph Garman. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's
Speaking
going on?
Speaking of Chuck, congratulations to Zachary Levi. We got the news over the weekend. He's the new Shazam! Shazam! No one else excited
Shazam.
About this
Shazam. Was that Shaq?
That was Kazam, I learned last week. Yes.
Jeez in heaven. Shazam! Captain Marvel!
Oh,
say the magic
sure.
word, turn yeah. into Captain Marvel,
sure.
Shazam.
Yeah.
And who's the little boy turns into Shazam, Allie? You
Jimmy.
Know.
Jimmy.
Not Jimmy at all.
Oh.
Try again.
Jiminy.
Not Jiminy.
Okay.
Either.
The little boy that turns into Shazam.
Right.
He's a superhero.
Shazam's a superhero. The little
oh,
boy's not.
Oh, Shazam
He's a little boy,
is?
Yes.
Oh.
I just want to clarify. I believe we had this conversation last week. Or did we?
Oh.
I don't remember, because you said Shazam, and then we were
and
all
And I said Kazam. I think it was Open Sesame we had to say. Like his,
That's
what
the
was
magic
his
word?
Magic
what?
Word? Oh,
Shazam's
the magic
word.
Word
is Shazam.
Okay, then no.
That's not it then.
What's happening?
Oh, my Lord.
Guys, I'm going to leave and go back on vacation.
Don't go joined, my friend.
I don't understand any of this conversation.
Why don't you just give us the answer on that
Billy
one?
Batson. Billy
oh,
Batson.
Right.
Don't.
And this is going to be a movie or a TV show or what that our friend...
Yes, a movie.
Movie.
All right. It's like you're all from a desert island.
Yeah.
Well,
pick up a newspaper once in a while, a blog.
Do I have Wi-Fi on the island?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, and electricity, too, right? I assume we got to have electricity.
Sure. It's one of those bikes you just pedal and it creates electricity.
Okay.
Hey, Simon Cowell pulled a bean over the weekend. Did you hear about this?
No.
Mm-mm.
Friday morning, he gets up. In his London home, can't sleep. So he figures he'll head downstairs and get some hot milk. And he got out of bed, and when he stood up, he fainted. Fell down his own stairs.
Down his stairs?
Yeah.
Happens all the time, you guys.
To whom?
Everybody. Very normal.
Really?
Very normal.
It doesn't happen all the time. I've heard now of you and now Simon Cowell.
Get out of bed.
Like two times I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And people
and
fainting, faint. Getting out of bed. Doesn't happen all the time. Never happened to me. Kevin, ever happened to you?
Not once.
Allie?
I mean...
Oh, here we go. Damn, why did I get out of bed this morning? I wish I had fainted and just stayed home.
I have very low blood pressure, so I have to get up slowly, is all I'm saying.
God.
All right, so three.
Anyway,
three people.
He stood up, went down the stairs, had to be hospitalized.
Wow.
But apparently, he's going to be okay. Pretty bad tumble.
Yeah.
He had to skip the X Factor live shows on Saturday, though. That's the hardest part of all, right?
Sure.
Don't want to miss out on X Factor. Hey, List! I love lists. E-Score. You familiar with the polling site E-Score?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at over 4,500 characters from movies and TV shows to see which ones are the scariest.
From movies and TV shows.
Movies and TV shows. Let me see really quickly here. I'm looking at this list now, and I don't even know why they brought up TV, because it's all movies. These are all movie characters.
Freddy.
Oh, no, there's one. There's one. There's one TV one, and that must have been why they said it. But these, according to their extensive polling, are the top 10 scariest characters from mostly movies and one TV show.
Right? I mean,
let's play.
Freddy.
Play the game.
Kevin says Freddy.
Freddy.
Freddy Krueger?
Yep.
Is in a tie for third, Kevin. You'll be happy. No, third. He's tied. I'll give you the tie. With Annabelle the doll from The Conjuring.
Okay.
Those two are tied for third.
I got to say Pennywise.
Pennywise, number one, Bean. Pennywise the clown is the number one scariest character.
So would that be considered the TV show?
Just the character.
Okay, but so there's another person from TV on the list.
I will end you.
You said there's only one from TV, so I'm wondering if that is the one.
Oh, no, that's a movie one.
Okay.
That's a movie one.
Okay.
I'm counting that as a movie one.
All right. Jason.
Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th, number two.
All right.
We've got one, two, and three. Boom. Knocking him down. I'll set him up. You knock him down.
All of us have only said Bean.
Yep. No, he said Pennywise the clown.
Nice work, Bean.
You got the first
number
one.
Kevin?
He got number one.
Who was the third?
Freddy Krueger.
I'm kidding. I'm asking for Kevin.
Well, it's hard to tell with you. You might faint. I don't know.
What happened to this show while I was gone?
A lot.
Nothing good. Nothing good, I'll tell you that.
All good stuff.
Nothing good.
You guys may have to catch me up on the week that was.
I think you will.
Top of the hour, because I'm very confused.
Yeah.
Kevin?
You know, you don't leave your kid with the abusive uncle and then come back and say, oh, why is my kid all messed up? All right? So, that's you. It's not on us.
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw.
It's a great guess.
Not in the top 10.
That's a great guess, though.
Thank you, Bean.
It's really not a great guess because it's not in the top 10.
I'm going to give myself credit then.
Nope. It's not in the top 10, so it's not a great guess, is what I'm saying.
All right.
Okay, we're out of time. We're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time.
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
No, it's not Jason Bourne. Not
that Texas guy with the chainsaw.
Leatherface!
Yes.
He is fifth, Allie. Well done.
Thank you.
I'm gonna knock him down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Myers from Halloween.
You have to set him up and knock him down.
Yeah, I do. Michael Myers. How can you come up with Freddy and Jason and not come up with Michael Myers?
Yeah, that's a big three right there.
Yeah. The Demogorgon. Demogorgon.
From Stranger Things?
From Stranger Things.
Oh, come on.
Why aren't you afraid of that, Allie?
No.
Oh, I didn't know how tough you were.
Right.
Pinhead from Hellraiser.
Sure. Pinhead.
Yes.
You're just repeating now. It doesn't make you right. You know that, right?
Just say it with emphasis. Freddy from Five Nights at Freddy's.
What is that?
Is that a game?
I don't even know what that is.
Video game, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Huh.
But it's a different Freddy than
Freddy.
Yeah,
it's not the same Freddy, yeah. And number 10, Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, sure.
Number 10. So there you go. There's your horror list from the show business.
I think we did well.
I think you did too. Today's celebrity birthdays, Henry Winkler. Hey. 72 years old today. Kevin Pollak turned 60. Gavin Rossdale, our buddy from Bush, is 52. And Ivanka Trump celebrates her 36th birthday today. She keeps blinking. Help into the camera lens as we look at her on television. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, I know it's hard to believe because it's not even Halloween yet, but the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are sold out for December 9th and 10th at the Forum. You can still win them. We'll have them to give away on the air in the weeks to come, and you can also go to krock.com to enter win your tickets if you were not able to get them to see Muse and 30 Seconds to Mars and Queens of the Stone Age and Morrissey, The Killers and Weezer and so much more. Don't forget, krock.com is a place to go to get some tickets.
I feel like I have to get a switch to beat myself here because I have to play updates from last week so that Bean can find out what happened. And they're all me.
Hmm.
Now, when one of us is away on a vacation, we never listen to the show.
Right.
I don't know what your reason is, Kevin.
I've heard it. I've heard it enough. I need a break.
Mine is it's just too painful. It hurts too much. Because I want to jump in. I want to jump in and say things.
Oh, that's why. Oh, okay. I'm like, so you did listen.
That's not very nice.
No, because
it's just too painful.
If I listen to it, I'll be like, oh, I wish I could have been there to ask this or say this or do this or play this or whatever.
I got to tell you, I got none of that.
Mm-mm.
Really?
No, I just need to get away from everything and then come back.
And that's completely understandable.
Okay.
But so I missed the whole week, and I understand there were some, it's being put in quotes in the email, but highlights that I need to know about.
Well, the first one started on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we were talking to Harvey, and I was trying to get out his Twitter or something like that, and I broke into Deck the Halls somehow and started singing Fa-La-La right in the middle of it, just accidentally.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
All right, Harvey, we always appreciate your time on Mondays. You can follow Harvey on Twitter.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So that happened.
Kevin doesn't usually have to do that kind of station business when we have guests and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot of words in a row. I have no idea why we were talking about CNC Music Factory. How did that come up?
Oh, it was the man that was actually ticketed because he was singing too loud in his car.
Oh, right.
Yes.
And he was singing along with that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, if it's CNC Music Factory, Everybody Dance Now, or whatever that song is.
Yeah, you gotta turn it up.
You give him a pass.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think. And then for some reason, I started to sort of rap, but I knew none of the words.
And he should have been rapping, too.
Here is the dough. Back with the bass, pajamas live, and I'm back that I don't waste time. Off the mic with a dope rhyme, jump to the rhythm, jump, jump to the rhythm, jump, and I'm
I don't even know how I know that many words.
not sure why that happened.
How is Kevin in CNC Music Factory?
How do
I remember a word of that song, let alone the three I got right?
Is Kevin going to make you sweat writer, apparently?
I don't know what was happening. And you know how I hang up on people?
Sure. You got a long history of hanging up on some of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah, which one do we have here first?
Let's do Paul first.
Okay. All right, Paul McCartney, of course.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
That's a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Oops. You hung up on Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
He was done. I think we all agree.
Well, it's hard when they're on the phone because you assume that is the last word they're going to say. So then you pull the trigger. I almost am going to give you a pass.
Okay. What about Brooke Shields, though?
Nope. That one hurt my soul.
Same.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
It's
Surreal
Sound Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
Yeah, that one's painful.
She lost the will to live as that commercial trounced her.
I don't know that I've ever done it with a guest in studio, though.
Yeah, that's the thing, Bean. This was when Tobin Bell was here to talk about
Jigsaw.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, when they're in studio, obviously you can see when they're done talking because their lips have stopped moving.
Right.
You would think
I was looking at him.
Directly.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that would be the clue that now is the time to play the commercial. Not so. No.
Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for your time.
Nice. Happy a week on K-Rock.
Close your windows.
Okay, now. Shut up, B. It's not that funny.
You'll hear it again? Yes!
Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for your time.
Happy
a
week on K-Rock.
Close your windows.
All right, now, B.
Poor guy.
Now, B, we had this guessing game.
Yes.
What do you think he was trying to say? Because now we have it without the commercial. So we can actually hear him.
I felt like he was saying something about being happy to be back on the show, or he enjoys being on the show whenever he is, because we've talked to him a number of times in the past. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought he was trying to say.
Did you?
Yeah.
Here you go. Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on radio.
He loves radio, Bean.
He loves radio maybe more than you, Bean.
He came around to my side of the board where all the controls are and took a picture over here.
Look,
that's how much he loves radio.
If I had that voice, I would love radio too.
Yeah,
He's made for radio.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was interested in it from the get-go.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
It's a shame we treated him so shabbily.
Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Happy all week on K-Rock.
Close your windows.
I mean, so that happened.
Bean, I wish you could have seen Kevin's face. Immediately, his eyes just scrunched up and he mouthed the word S-H. And I'm like, Kevin. He's in the room.
I went over to Tobin. I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. And
Does he hate radio now because of the way he was treated?
He was fine. He couldn't have been nicer.
So kind.
Yeah.
I would have let him finish a sentence. But, you know.
Some of us would make that choice. Some wouldn't, unfortunately.
Last week, my wife and I and our dogs drove across country. And we stopped into San Antonio to the site of the Toilet Seat Art Museum. And I sat down and interviewed our new friend Barney Smith, 96-year-old Barney Smith, who runs the museum there.
I assume that you decided at that point that you had the wrong radio partner and that he should be your guy.
I do love Barney,
I don't know that it would be a permanent long-term solution to replace you with Bernie. I feel like I might enjoy it for a month
could
or so.
Could I just stand by?
Yes. If you could just wait in the car, Kevin. But anyway, highlights. There was so much love, such an outpouring of love from the listeners about Bernie when we had him on the phone.
Agreed.
Here.
He was
and
great.
People were so excited that I went to visit him. And I think you're going to be happy to hear, especially you, Al, you're going to be happy to hear some clips from the interview coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show here. Because I did go visit Barney. I did talk to him. So that's coming up. First, though, we got to talk about something else. Last night, there were a million stories in Game 5 of the World Series that, unfortunately, if you if you clocked out at 10 p.m. and missed the end of the game, the Astros did end up with a walk-off homer or walk-off hit, I guess I should say, in the 10th inning.
I set my DVR for 4.5 hours. And it wasn't enough. I had to keep recording. But I'll tell you this, Bean. Watch pretty much all three games over the weekend.
How wow. about you?
And I'll tell you why. Because I realized that when the Kings were in the playoffs, it's pretty much all I cared about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It took over my entire life. And I have so many friends that are huge Dodger fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, you know what? A little support.
Yeah.
Is it turning around on baseball at all?
Not a bit.
Really?
Well, here's the thing.
Even though these games have been so wildly entertaining.
These games have been great.
Pitch by pitch, every pitch has so much importance. And
right.
You can just feel the energy and the excitement.
Does the season start next year with the World Series?
No.
No, this is the end. This is pretty much just the end.
Okay, so then no, because it's baseball. And they've added video replay to it now.
Mm-hmm.
To lengthen.
Because you don't want somebody
lengthen
to lose
the process.
Based on a bad ref call.
To lengthen the game. So unless they... It was five. It was one of the best games I've ever seen, and it was way too long.
It was way too long.
Okay.
It was way too long. All even right. For a 10-inning game, it took way too long.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Okay.
But there was one controversial moment that has made the internet erupt, and that is an Astros fan caught a home run ball from Yasiel Puig in the ninth inning and held on to it until the man sitting two seats away from her grabbed it from her hand and threw it out onto the field.
Now,
gave it back.
Now, that made sense to me because I remember being at, maybe it was a Kevin and Bean Dodger night or something, but we were there one time and the crowd, when the other team hits a home run,
mm-hmm.
started chanting, throw it back, throw it back.
Oh, yeah. You're
and I thought that
to.
Was the rule mm-hmm. with the other team. But well, I didn't see anyone doing that in the World Series. Is it because it was the World Series?
Well, this is what we have a lot to talk about on this topic because it is certainly the sports tradition that you do not want to honor an opposing team's home run by hanging on to the ball. But it's also, for many people, they don't get to go to a lot of games, and you certainly in your lifetime aren't going to see very many World Series games in person. It's also a very important and memorable souvenir of an event that you got to go to, right? I can understand wanting to hang on to a World Series ball. But I also understand if you're a hardcore Astros fan, the last thing you want to do is show respect to a Dodger hit, right?
Yeah, but my thought was, why not hang on to it? And as long as your team wins, you've got a pretty good souvenir. Because that was a game they won. If you mm-hmm. if the Dodgers win, mm-hmm. then you just sort of toss it in the trash on your way out.
So, Allie, what's the you've been following this story closely, and you had a very funny tweet on it last night. What's the backstory on this man and this woman?
It was a woman named Sarah that caught the ball. Super stoked. She didn't even have a chance to really think about throwing it back because the guy not next to her, but next to the guy next to her that turns out to be her brother-in-law straight up jacked the ball from her and chucked it back. And a lot of people were wondering, well, wait, hold on. Who's this guy? Did she want to throw it? Did she not? Turns out Sarah did want to throw it back.
Oh, she was planning on doing it?
But instead, her brother-in-law jacked it from her hand and her husband next to her, it looks like in the video, like he's about to backhand his brother. Like, what are you doing? But then the video cuts away way too soon.
Right.
I need a 30 for 30 on that whole family immediately. But yeah, it turns out she wanted to throw it back. She didn't even get the chance to because her brother-in-law took it and took it upon himself to throw
now,
it back.
Let me ask you guys this. Hey, David King of Mexico. How are you, sir?
Hey.
You can weigh in on this if you want. How about if she disagreed with that decision and wanted to keep the ball? How mad is she allowed to be at her brother-in-law for doing what the crowd wants and what is the tradition of baseball? Isn't it her choice if she catches the ball? It's hers to do with as she pleases?
Sure.
I'd say yes.
Yeah.
I'd say yes. I mean, it was a dick move from her brother-in-law.
But look, guys, this is a stupid tradition started by Cubs fans because their team sucked so bad that every time there it was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time there was a home run hit at Wrigley from the opposing team, they had to throw it back because, you know, their team sucked. So
right.
There was a lot of home runs hit.
Not as many home runs as in this World Series.
Yeah, exactly. This is something you need to keep. This is a keepsake from the World Series. It doesn't matter which team hit it. And maybe she said that just to protect the brother or something like that. Mm-hmm. But
because people are really coming after
yeah,
him, right?
You need to keep that ball. One, with all the controversy of the balls being slick right now, you got to keep it for memories. And then why not try to offer it to Yasiel? What if the Dodgers came back and he wanted it? And then you're like, I know I'm an Astros fan, but...
How much?
You get some money
right?
from it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't you just pause a moment mm-hmm. and see what you could do with this ball?
I didn't see anyone
else.
She
never even got the chance to do that.
I didn't see anyone else throwing back. Not that they had the cameras so that maybe you could have or not, but
yeah.
I didn't see anyone else throwing back any home runs.
I mean,
either place.
I think you would if they were, and they weren't. I don't know. Okay, this was just, you know, in the boxes.
So this is the only one that got thrown back, and it got thrown,
that
thrown back by somebody else, not the
seen,
person
yeah.
that we could see. Yeah.
Didn't happen in Arizona. Didn't happen, you know, in the Astros-Yankees game. You know, it doesn't happen. And I don't know why.
So you're saying that tradition has not spread throughout the major leagues?
Look, it has from time to time, but this is the World Series. You keep that ball.
So mm-hmm. any other series, what about NLCS? Do you keep that ball?
Me personally, I'll keep every ball because catching a home run ball is just an achievement itself.
Okay, game.
What are the chances of that ever happening,
yeah,
especially
right?
a World
yeah.
Series game?
Game 8 of the regular season.
Game 8?
Great question.
I keep the ball.
You're,
me,
really?
You're just a ball
me,
keeper.
Me.
You love balls.
He loves balls.
I would love to keep all the balls.
Okay.
Listen, you know, I'll keep everything. Foul ball, you know, ground ball, anything.
All right.
I will keep it because it's a souvenir from a game you went to.
All right.
And you don't get to go to very many World Series games. You know, I mean, maybe that guy does or not. But
what about, let me ask you this, Dave. Remember the guy who was in the news a couple weeks ago because he had caught his 10th Dodger home run
what?
At Dodger Stadium
yeah.
and then went to Chicago and caught one against the game against the Cubs also. Does he keep both teams' balls or just keep Dodgers' balls? Do you know?
He sounds like a baseball fan, and, you know, I bet he kept all of them. Well, I guess the one for Turner, he gave it back to him. So
I don't think he loves balls as much as Dave.
I don't think anyone loves balls as much
Listen,
as Dave.
I love all the balls, and I'll keep all the balls.
Well, that's our takeaway. Judd Apatow on the program later on today. He's got a very special event coming up this week. It's a charity event for Las Vegas victims, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
With Adam Sandler. So
I know
we'll
it's
talk
a
to Judd
charity event. I just wasn't sure what it was for.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network on the program today, and we'll get back to talking about the Dodgers with our friend Matt Money Smith from the Dodgers Station, AM 570, coming up in a few minutes as well. So, Barney Smith, you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
We all fell in love with him on the phone. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. I got the opportunity to go hang out with Barney. He's my speed, you guys. He's 96.
Bean, a lot of people ask us if the stuff we say about Bean is accurate. It is. When Bean was, you know, 4... He was a 96-year-old soul, and he always has been.
I do love old people.
You do.
For 70 years, Barney has been painting toilet seats, and I, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time on his Facebook page, so I didn't really know what they looked like, or what the quality of the art was, because I just figured he was like a folk artist, you know, kind of primitive. They're really elaborate. They're multimedia.
What?
Multimedia toilet seats. They have carvings. They have paint. They have just all sorts of different things that he puts on these toilet seats. I can't even describe it. You got to see some of this artwork. I mean, he's really, really talented. And for 70 years, he's been doing it. So I was driving on through Texas, and I thought I would stop by and interview him for my podcast. A lot of people, by the way, I don't mention it very often, but I do have a podcast called Thanks for That Podcast, Bean. And this is going to be on this week's episode. You'll get a chance to hear an extended version of this interview. But I thought you might want to hear some clips, including a little bit of setup of me getting to his place in San Antonio.
Sure.
I saw miles and miles of Texas. Gonna
So last week on my road trip across America, I took advantage of being in Texas to swing by San Antonio and say hi to Barney in person. He lives in a beautiful, quiet neighborhood with wide, tree-lined streets. And despite our 9 a.m. meetup time, he was ready for me at the front door. Even though he'd been up late the night before, watching his beloved Houston Astros win a World Series game in extra innings. I tried not to break it to him that the Dodgers are God's team. Hashtag win for Vin.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
Barney would have been a tall man in his youth, although he's somewhat hunched over now and uses a cane. But he's still got a full head of hair, a big smile, and a firm handshake. And we sat down in the garage, surrounded by toilet seats, to talk about growing up Barney. I started by asking about his folks.
Okay, my mother and dad were in the plumbing business in Eastland, Texas. That's my hometown. Eastland, Texas is between Fort Worth and Abilene, or going out to El Paso.
Where did your parents meet, and when did they get married?
She was only about 16 years old whenever they met and got married. And they met, and they pulled cotton bowls and picked cotton all over Texas. And they had five of us children.
Your parents would have been born around 1900?
Yeah, I think Dad was in 1800 and something.
And you were born in 1921. What date, Barney?
May the 25th of 21.
How about that? You're 96 years old. How do you feel?
Real down. I'm getting around real slow. The last 3 or 4 years has really taken the toll out. I've really suffered.
That's not the answer I was hoping for.
Come on, Barney. Like, well, when there's a microphone, fake it. Come on, Barney.
His health is starting to decline. He used to play guitar and Hawaiian guitar also, but he can't really move his fingers very well. So it's a miracle that he's able to still keep creating this artwork because he has to use his hands to do it. But he's just so dedicated to it. You know, I mean, it really is. I didn't go there to talk to him about the toilet seat museum. I don't think I asked
How
any questions.
How could you not?
It wasn't what I was interested in. I was interested in the rest of the
You went to the
Barney's
world's
life.
Largest ball of twine.
You're not interested in this? I didn't ask him any questions about that, but he refers to it so often because everywhere he looks in that garage, he sees a different part of his life and a different thing that was going on in the world. I mean, I think I said at one point in the interview, this garage is like the history of the 20th century. You can see things in there from the 40s, from the 50s, from the 60s, because we've been doing these for so long. And, I mean, it really is. If he didn't have that museum, I don't think he'd still be alive. I think that's what's keeping him
going. Oh, that gives him his purpose, yeah?
Yeah, it gives him his purpose. All right, here's a little more with Barney Smith.
Some people say, well, I've drank enough beer to float a battleship. Well, I have never tasted a beer. I've never had one can of beer, not even a sip of beer. And I'm 96 years old. And the Lord says that he will keep me alive for a few more years if I would abstain from taking any beer.
By the way,
where did the Lord say that, by the way?
Well, that's what the Lord
chapter
told
Chapter and
him.
Verse.
Oh, told him. It's not in the Bible. He told him personally.
Being at that point, don't you drive right to the local grocery store and get a beer and both of you just crack one open?
No,
Come on. What's it going to do? What's the downside?
You should have been there for the interview. It sounds like you could have gotten Barney plastered, take him out for a big night on the town. I think one more question here. And again, you can hear the rest of the interview on the podcast, which is going to come out on Wednesday, I think.
What do you expect to find in heaven?
I expect to find my mother and dad, my brother and my sister, and my kin folks that have gone on before me, and my wife. I told her, I said, well, whenever you leave here, tell St. Peter that there's an old boy down here working on toilet seats that wants a place in heaven. Oh. And so she's got a good word for me.
Are you in love, Allie?
Oh, my God.
Is he
Barney.
Positive she had a good word for him?
Kevin.
Why are you pooping all
I'm
over
saying,
Barney's
is
life?
He is it possible? That's all I'm saying.
What do you think? She went up to heaven and said, oh, St. Peter, watch out for Barney. What a dick.
They were married for 74 years.
I'm just asking a question.
I think it's pretty likely that his wife put in a good word for it. By the way, they met when they were less than 6 months old.
What?
His
what?
Wife. They met when they were less than 6 months old. Yeah.
Seems way too early to get married.
I was getting married then, Kevin. They get married for like 20 years after
I
that.
Got
but
you.
They were
okay.
Childhood friends growing up.
Got it.
He really has had a fascinating life, and I think you guys will enjoy the rest of the interview.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I want to give something away right now. Start your week off right. Got tickets to a very special advance K-Rock screening of a movie, which, if you like acting, man, you're going to enjoy this film. It's called The Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah!
Wait, what?
Three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Kids aren't sure?
That's where it was filmed, but what's the movie called?
Three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
All right, go on.
It is an offbeat title, to say the least, but terrific story, dark, dark comedy about a mother who challenges the local authorities to solve her daughter's murder when they sort of fail to step up. And so she embarrasses them publicly with these three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Is this Frances McDormand?
Frances McDormand, exactly who stars in it, Kevin. How did that happen?
I saw...
What happened just now?
I saw a commercial for it last night during the 14-hour baseball game.
That's fine. You could have seen the commercial for it 3 minutes ago, and I wouldn't have guessed you'd come up with her name.
Come on now.
You come on now! You don't think I should be impressed you remembered something you saw last night during a commercial?
Well, maybe.
Right. Who else is in it, Kevin?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Just when we were making the breakthrough.
That's it. That's all I got.
Woody Harrelson?
Yes.
Peter Dinklage?
Right, Dinklage.
And one of my all-time heroes, Sam Rockwell, also in this film.
Wow.
This movie has everything.
You aren't overselling the acting in this
film. No, it's top drawer. Really is. If you'd like to see a very special K-Rock advanced screening of Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri, at the Landmark, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. It's all going to happen on November 8th. And then the movie's in theaters everywhere on the 10th. If you don't win, you can still go see it in a real theater. Not that Landmark isn't a real theater. It's absolutely real. I've seen it. It exists. That's physical properties.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Yes?
No, this is legit.
No, it's never good.
It's a legitimate
question. It's never good. I'm telling you. When that... Hey, Ralph Garman. I know something bad is going to come.
Speaking of Peter Dinklage, did you happen to catch the David S. Pumpkins Halloween special Saturday night?
I did.
It was unfortunate.
It was not what I had hoped for.
There was not a lot of time and effort put into its production.
I saw 4 minutes of it.
Not what my anticipation... the level of anticipation did not, for me, match my level of enjoyment.
It left this reviewer cold.
I did not walk away from the experience with positive memories.
Oh, dear.
It was terrible.
I'm David Pumpkins. Any questions?
It did seem a little bit like a cash grab, didn't it?
It seemed like they were confused making it. Like, they're like, what should it be? Should we spoof kids' specials, or should we make a special for kids, or should we really just riff on the fact that David S. Pumpkin, really, there's no story to him because he just doesn't really sort of a lame character, or should we give him a backstory, or should he have powers? Well, yeah, but not really good powers. We can pick a side, do one thing.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
I did too.
I was kept thinking it's going to get better.
At 3.5 minutes, I asked myself that. Is this going to get better? No.
I thought the musical TV number was very funny.
Didn't
where
see
he
it.
Keeps talk. He keeps talking about, and so I was born where I was, and everything is just sort of folds in on itself. You know, I was raised by my mother, who was also my mom, and he kept giving information that didn't really answer any questions about David S. Pumpkins, which I thought was a very clever story, well performed by Tom Hanks. And then I was like, what's happening here? With the three kids running around and the raincoat man and...
Yeah. And the doofus loser kid who gets pants that everyone laughs at in the neighborhood is named Kevin. I don't know if you guys noticed.
Hey, I did notice
that.
Yeah.
He was a Kevin.
So...
I don't know.
There you go. Not what
I don't think it's going to be a holiday classic.
Not what I was hoping for. Any stretch of the imagination.
Peter Dinklage was the narrator for folks who wondered what the transition was.
Yes. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Jigsaw debuted with $16.3 million. You'd think a man who stars in a movie that's a number one at the box office deserves a little respect. Deserves not to be hung up on in person to his face.
Kevin could not get him out of the studio fast enough.
Turned on a commercial while the guy was talking and Kevin was looking in the man's face.
I mean, I thought it was done.
How could you think it was done? His mouth was still moving, and you were looking at his mouth.
Well, his mouth stopped for a brief.
No, it did not. You could see. You could hear it moving.
Delvin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for your time.
Happy all week on K-Rock.
Close your windows.
There's no pausing when that happened.
It's a pleasure.
play it again. He starts talking again before you play the commercials.
Delbin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for your time.
Happy all week on K-Rock.
Close your windows.
He launches into a brand new sentence.
Yeah.
It wasn't ideal.
Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween was second. Geostorm, Happy Death Day, and Blade Runner 2049 round out the top five films. Thank you for your service. Debuted with just $3.7 million at number six. Only The Brave, The Foreigner, and Suburbicon, $2.8 million.
Wow.
Starring Matt Damon, directed by George Clooney, only made a little over $2 million.
What do you make of that, Ralph? I thought Matt Damon was a movie star.
Yeah, I don't think it matters anymore.
You don't think movie stars matter anymore?
I don't. I think people will go see a certain kind of film with a certain movie star in it, but they're not going to rush just to any film because an actor that they like is in it.
So maybe the trailer
didn't
look good.
If this had been Born 4,
yeah,
I'm sure it would have been the number one movie of the weekend. But I think it's a very specific kind of genre for a very specific kind of audience, and I just don't think it's going to open big when it's up against Tyler Perry and Jigsaw. And it still doing in the pretty well. Top 10 at number 10 this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Henry Winkler, 72. Kevin Pollak turns 60 years old today. Gavin Rosdale, 52 years old today. And Ivanka Trump is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm confused about one thing that happened while I was on vacation, Kevin. And that is that the listeners insisted that you watch Dodger baseball because they had such success with you tuning into games during the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You've been watching. You haven't missed a game. What happened yesterday?
Right?
Somebody else
dropped the ball.
Oh, there must have been somebody else out there who didn't wear their lucky socks or whatever.
See, right. We had that conversation last week, too. How are you helping the Dodgers? And everybody has the way that they sit on their couch or whatever. They arrange themselves the same way. They wear the same jersey.
Right.
So somebody else let them down.
Yeah, you did your part.
I did my part.
Well, ahead of talking to Matt Manish,
maybe I watched too much.
Could be.
I need to shorten the amount of time.
All I need from you is one play.
Okay.
You've been doing the whole game. That might be it.
Before we get to Matt from AM570 LA Sports, the Dodgers flagship station here in town, it sure started off well yesterday, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
That's into left to base hit. One run scores. Gonzalez can't come up with it. Turner scores, and it's 2-0 LA. Forsyth left early. The throw is wide, safe, and a run scores. Kike Hernandez comes to the plate. Forsyth left too soon, but he got to second on that wide throw. And it's 3-0 Dodgers here in the first. What a play that was.
Who would have thought that? 3-0 in the first. You're like, the Astros are falling apart already.
And then a mere 14 hours later, here's how it ended.
Two on, two out. 10th inning. That's in the air to left. Here comes Fisher. Throw by Ethier. Astros win it. In time.
So rude.
Soul crushing. Man, you play that hard for that long and lose that. I mean, somebody's got to lose, but come on. Come on with the come on, right?
Why can't it be the Astros? Why do they have that stupid train? Does anyone know that?
I hate trains so much now.
Center field or whatever it is.
Hey, Matt Money Smith.
Yeah.
Why do they have the stupid train?
Why does it have to be a stupid train? Just because they're beating the Dodgers doesn't mean the train's stupid.
The train was stupid before.
It
was stupid before.
I got Allie in the background going, I hate trains.
I hate trains. They're the worst. Choo-choo.
I hate trains. They're the worst. I don't know. It's the same. I mean, they got a train up in Seattle, Bean, right? Don't they have a train that cruises around that ballpark, too? There's something about baseball and trains. What the hell? I mean, the games have been ridiculous.
The games have been ridiculous. And by the way, I know that we're...
First, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm stepping in here, damn it.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to know something.
All right, go ahead.
So I tell you, this is what I say to you before the game. The Dodgers are going to score 12 runs in a game in which Clayton Kershaw starts. How much money do you want to put on that game? That is what I'm guaranteeing. The only thing I'm guaranteeing is the Dodgers will score 12 runs, and Clayton Kershaw will start.
Yeah, you'd put every penny you have on it.
Yeah, take my house, sure.
Exactly, house, college fund, all of it, and yet somehow that wasn't enough.
Yep. Somehow. Mm-hmm. I know we're invested because we've got a team in the fight, but put it in context how great this World Series is compared to others you've seen in your whole life, Matt.
Oh, it's the best one I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
I mean, it's not even close. I mean, well, I shouldn't say it's not even close. I mean, I think there's a couple that come to mind. One, the Joe Carter walk-off in Toronto against Mitch Williams. I think that was 93.
I'm going to say Cubs really... Indians all the way back in 2016 was maybe the best World Series I'd ever seen.
That was a great seventh game. The games weren't great. Remember, there were three blowouts. There was one like 1-0 game. Those weren't great games.
It was a great seventh game.
I mean, this has been ridiculous, right? I mean, it was Dallas. Even if you go back to game one, the pitcher's duel, you know, the dramatics of Justin Turner's home run, you know, off Dallas Keuchel. Here's Keuchel and Kershaw battling, and it was just one big hit. And that was, you know, you could argue the worst game of them all because of even, you know, the game three that got away from them. They were even rallying late in that one, you know,
and
these last two have been arguably the two greatest World Series games. Like, a lot of people are talking 91, the Minnesota Braves series in which, you know, Jack Morris threw that 10 inning complete game to get the win. And all seven of those games were really, really good. But
all right, speaking of pitching, what does last night do for Clayton Kershaw's legacy? Because the monkey was off of his back throughout the playoffs, and obviously one of the greatest World Series performances in history, Game One. But last night, man, knives were out online. You could see all these people calling him a bum again, talking about how he hadn't changed. He still cracks under pressure. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, I don't know what it does for his legacy. I know that it wasn't a good start. You know, he got spotted a 4-0 lead, gave it up, and then was given a gift of a 7-4 lead and gave it up. You know, and what'll happen is the people that want to defend him, and it's easy to defend him because he is that great of a pitcher, will say, hey, look, man, they should have left him in. I know he walked those two guys and he was starting to show signs of fatigue, but at the same time, let him finish that inning. Don't bring Kenta Maeda in, a starter who's not used to inheriting runners, into, even though he's been pitching out of the bullpen and pitching well, into a situation that he is completely uncomfortable with.
Didn't you sort of get the idea that the Astros were not going to be denied that game? They were that good at the plate? Do you think Kershaw?
I think it was, you know, I think going into the series, remember, they were down 3-2. They were dead. I mean, the Yankees-Dodgers celebration of the 70s and early 80s was on, right? And then they go and win back-to-back games, you know, in dominating fashion. Verlander dominates, and then they just destroy him offensively in that Game 7. So, yeah, I think everything they've shown us through the season and the postseason has suggested they are not going to go quietly, that you will have to get 27, and in the case of two of these games, now even more than 27 outs.
Right. You need 27 runs.
Yeah, right.
Are you one of those who is questioning Dave Roberts' choices on pitching, on bringing the bullpen too early on more than one game in this series?
In game two, I certainly did. I thought he should have sent Rich Hill out there for another inning.
And he didn't want Rich Hill to go around the lineup a third time, right?
Which, that's just an analytics thing that they have from their front office that's sent down, right? That's what they believe. If a pitcher is struggling, now if a pitcher is dominating, it's fine. You know, if they look great. If they look like there are, like you said, some cracks, then they don't want him to see a lineup a third time through. And they felt like Rich Hill was showing cracks, which is crazy. The guy had 7 strikeouts. Yeah, he had a couple stressful innings, but not to the point where you should have gone to your bullpen that early. And really, that was kind of the beginning of what has been using the bullpen so much. You know, and last night, Brandon Morrow, who would have been unhittable in the regular season and pretty much unhittable in the postseason, finally showed his fatigue. You know, and that against the best offense in Major League Baseball, if you have fatigue, and John Smoltz, I thought, put it best on TV when he said, you got to understand, an inch and 2 miles an hour off your fastball because you're tired against this lineup, that's huge. I mean, that's not incremental. It's monumental.
Right.
What about that strike zone, though?
I hate it. I mean,
that umpire was pretty generous.
I know a lot of people are on it now, and I hate being the guy that's like, hey, I was first on this. But really, about 5-6 years ago, I said, if we're going to put this stupid strike zone grid on the TV, then that should be what calls the strikes. And it's just that simple. If it's there, then why would there not be an umpire with an earpiece that just says, that's a strike, that's a ball, that's a strike? This whole idea of there has to be a human element, no, not when you're getting called third strikes and tie games in the top of the 10th that are 2 feet below a guy's knee. It just doesn't make any sense to me. If you have the technology, use it.
A lot of people say, Matt, and I know you've heard all the arguments on your show with Petros, but a lot of people say that there needs to be a human element in it because the strike zone does move based on what the batter is doing, whether the batter is leaning in or out or how tall he is, and lots of other factors too.
Which shouldn't matter. It should not matter. If you're Aaron Judge and you're 6'6", you should not be able to get into a batter's box and crouch and shrink your strike zone. No, because you're 6'6", you have a decided advantage because your levers are longer and you can hit the ball farther. So guess what? We've got to try to even that out. And that's what your strike zone is. Sorry, it's chest to right below the knee. That is your strike zone. And if you're Jose Altuve, your strike zone is freaking tiny because you're tiny.
Yeah,
and
he's got a 4-inch strike zone, that kid.
Yeah, I mean, that should be universal.
We're talking to Matt Money Smith for the Petrus Money Radio Show on the Dodgers flagship station, AM 570 LA Sports. All right, while we're talking about the mechanics, what about the balls? Everybody is saying these things are slick. That's why there's been 22 home runs. Do you think there's any difference in what the balls are on the field this series?
Look, I mean, it's what? We've now had the two highest home run games in World Series history, right? So I guess because there are, you know, look, players are hitting more home runs this year. I mean, this year has been a big year for home runs. So I don't think it's just this series. But I thought Kershaw put it best, you know, and it was almost like a lenient media that recognized how frustrated he is and was trying to give him a little bit of a softball. And good on him for not taking it. You know, he said, hey, look, if they are, we both have to pitch with them. So it evens out. You know, what does it matter?
Same thing with the weather. Same thing with humidity or whatever, right?
Right. It is what it is. Everybody's dealing with the exact same elements. Now, if they're sending out different balls for Kershaw than they are for Keuchel, then you have a problem. But the fact that they're all the same, deal with it. Figure it out.
All right. So Tuesday and Wednesday, two games left. If it were some other teams, I might think it's impossible to come back against this Astros team and win two. But the Dodgers can the Dodgers can do this. They've got it.
Well, it sets up, right, where this has to be a seven-game series, and that has to go down as the greatest World Series in the history of the sport. I mean, one of the great postseason championship rounds that we've ever seen in any sport. It's just kind of, and even if it doesn't, I think we'll still describe it as such, but it just feels that way, right? Like, for whatever reason, both of these teams, you know, when you're the Dodgers and you're down three runs going into the top of the ninth on the road, and you're deflated because the best pitcher on the planet was knocked out before five innings even hit, and, you know, you gave up a 4-0 and a 7-4 lead, and yet you still rally when you're down to your last strike to tie that game. It just suggests that, you know, we will not go gentle into that good night. No. No, we will not. We will rage. We will rage against the dying of the light.
What's happening?
It's getting very poetic in here. Yasiel guarantees a game seven, so we'll take him at his word, I guess.
Hey, if there is any man who I am going to follow into battle, let me tell you, Yasiel Puig.
All right, what time are the Panic Brothers on today, Matt?
Panic Brothers are on at 2 o'clock today, 2 to 6, and if you're going to game 6, we're going to be out there pretty much all day, like 10 to 3 before I mean, it's just going to be a Dodger-palooza. So
fantastic.
I can start at 10 a.m. Whenever those gates open, come see us in the left field bullpen. It really has been. I'll tell you what, it has been great. Like how the fact that these Dodger fans and these season ticket holders could get thousands of dollars for their tickets that are $200 on their face, and they're not selling them. I mean, it is hardcore Dodger fans that we've seen all year. It has been so cool to see what this fan base has been through this whole thing.
That's awesome. Hey, we'll talk to you later in the week, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Anytime.
Thank you. Bye. Bean, you're on your like eighth marriage, right?
I lost track.
Seventh, eighth?
Somewhere 6 to 8, somewhere in that neighborhood.
No.
Yeah.
Last week, this is the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Last week, Ralph did a story about A-Rod and J-Lo getting married. And J-Lo, this will be her, I believe, fourth time.
Yeah. Now, they didn't get married, right?
There was rumors that they were going to.
The report was from Us Magazine that they are talking about it. They're shopping around in New York for a place to live together, and they are planning on getting married. And by the way, the marriage conversation, according to sources close to J-Lo, and I love those unnamed sources, say that they started talking about marriage about 2 months into the relationship.
Oof.
Jennifer Lopez is a lady who seems to enjoy being married.
But yeah. Ralph brought up a good question, which is, isn't there a little doubt in your mind after three failed marriages that maybe it's not for you?
You just love love.
You just love love.
I can see that, but I can also see, especially since her two early marriages. I mean, her last marriage was with Mark Anthony, and that lasted for, what, 10 years or something? So that's I would say that is not an unsuccessful marriage if it lasted for 10 years.
Right.
The first two, though, when she was much younger, were a year or less. That was a mistake. Those were clearly mistakes. It's possible you can learn from that and now figure out how to be in a long-term committed relationship. I don't think I would automatically say this one won't last because she's had those divorces in the past.
What if this one
think?
Doesn't last and then she tries to get married a fifth time?
Now you're getting into Larry King territory.
That's what I'm saying.
I I don't know what the number is, Kevin. I don't know that four is it, and I think it would vary a lot person to person. But I do think if you're somebody like Larry King and you're into eight marriages, I do think it's you.
Ralph, yes.
I just want to check. Bean, you consider the marriage successful because it lasted 10 years but ended in divorce.
I do.
If a marriage ends in a divorce, isn't by definition it not successful?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that marriage is automatically a mistake. It could be
But it's not a success.
I think it is a success. I think if a marriage lasts 10 – look, I don't think
people – You know the concept of marriage, right?
I do.
Okay. You know what's supposed to happen in a marriage to make it successful?
I know that when you get married, you hope to be married forever. That's generally what you do. But I don't think necessarily that it's something to regret if it doesn't work out and both people end up moving on to something else. I don't think it's automatically a failure. I don't.
So in your mind, the first two were mistakes.
What's the over-under? How many years in is it a successful marriage?
By the way, for Hollywood stars, to me – 5 years. I mean, it seems more difficult.
Well, I think your marriage is successful if you stay married.
Right.
That would seem to be the successful marriage
sure,
to me.
Sure, of course.
The failed marriage would be the one that breaks down and you're no longer married, because the concept of marriage is to join together, to stay together for life. That's the basic premise of the whole institution.
But not everything great has to last forever, Ralph. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying
that's a failed relationship, but marriage by definition is supposed to be a commitment that lasts a lifetime. But it's part and parcel of the very nature of the thing.
I mean, you do say that out loud in the ceremony.
I mean, that's part of it, right? I might check me on this. I just want to make sure what you're saying when you get married, what the plan is.
No, I do understand.
If I say I want to work at Costco forever, all right, and then I get fired from Costco, I don't say I had a very successful Costco career because I'm no longer working at Costco.
I mean, you could look at it that way, or you could look at it as I had a very successful Costco career. It didn't last forever, but I don't regret it.
But
I'm still glad that it happened.
My goal is to work at Costco forever.
That's my goal. First of all,
if I'm no longer working there, then I've failed my goal.
Do you still have a good relationship with Costco?
I enjoy it. I buy a lot of. Okay. I buy giant pallets of mayonnaise from there all the time. But I'm no longer working there.
But it was a good breakup, it's all good.
But I'm not there anymore.
All right, here's what we want to do. We want to talk to listeners who have been married three or more times.
Yes.
Stop it. And then say,
isn't you?
It is you, and stop it. Just have a nice relationship. Just have a nice 10-year relationship, and Bean will think you're a success. But you don't have to go the marriage step, because then you're broken.
I agree you shouldn't marry everybody that you go out with. But in the course of Jennifer Lopez, who has been married on and off for 25 years or something like that, three marriages isn't... I mean, it's not a lot.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like three is starting to be a lot.
I think if you do the first one, you're young.
Right.
That's a throwaway.
You get a mulligan.
You get a mulligan on that first one.
But if in modern society, we'll say you get one to kind of work out the kinks.
Right.
Then you learn what you're doing. Second one, that's the keeper, right?
It should be the keeper.
That's what most of us shoot for, yes.
If it is not the keeper, that's... Third one definitely is.
Right. Okay. That's for sure. You've really learned how to make a successful marriage, which, by the way, means still being married.
Yeah. I think after three is when you just go,
all right. I got no skill set for this particular institution.
Is Allie what you are suggesting? And, of course, we don't know anything about the intricacies of their relationship. But what you're suggesting is that the chances of success for Jennifer Lopez being married a fourth time are low.
Because they get lower each time.
Every time you get married, it's less likely it'll stick.
Yes.
Right. Because you're so used to now, this is not going my way.
It's hard. I'm
going to bust this up because this is a pain in the ass. The more you get used to, once you've broken that seal, I think it's easier to go that route again because you're like, you know what? I'm going to do that thing I did before and just.
Quitters never give up, though.
Right? We want to talk to you. 1-800-520-1067 if you have been married three times or more. And I think, do we have some kind of a prize for somebody that's like hit 10?
11? Yeah, 10 marriages? I don't know, give you a swift kick right in the gooliomies.
Thank you. All right, just out of Lincoln Park, we are talking about people who have been married three times or more. Jason in Lakewood, good morning. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, I only got two, but I'm engaged for number three.
All right. Now, let's talk about how you arrived at that decision to get married again. What went wrong? Was there a common denominator besides you in the first two divorces?
It was all me, the first one.
Okay. All right. First one was on you. All right, what happened the second time?
I married a woman that made more money than me, and the power thing kind of switched.
You're a dick.
Right?
You're
a dick. That's what Bean and I are dying for that.
I'm glad that Jason admitted to it. It's true. It happens.
That's stupid. Jason, enjoy it. Be a kept man and love it.
Bean, I feel like that one's passed. He already got divorced.
All right.
And now he's engaged again.
So you're marrying a poverty chick now? What's happening?
No, poverty check.
Marrying a therapist, but she's not mine.
Okay.
She's not your therapist. Okay, but she's making a low enough salary that you feel like you can be manly enough to stay married to her.
I'm just a union electrician.
All right.
I ain't a rich guy, so it don't matter.
All right. One's not going to work out. I'm telling you guys right now. I'm calling it. When's the wedding, Jason? What date are you getting married?
April.
April, all right. I give you less than 2 years, my friend. But thanks for calling. We'll take your calls next on this topic. You've been married three or more times. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you on K-Rock. Here's a text from a listener in the 602, which I think is it's Arizona, isn't it, Kevin?
602? Yes, it is. Yep.
Bean, one marriage is ideal. Two is questionable. Three, you should be questioning whether or not you're sane. Four, you should just save the money. It ain't going to work out. So this listener says, J-Lo thinking about getting married for a fourth time, according to reports to Alex Rodriguez. Forget it, because she's already been married three times. She's hit her limit. We're taking your calls on this topic. And text, same number, 1-800-520-1067. If you've been married three times or more, what makes you think the next one's going to work? Who's next?
Let's start with Mary in Sunland. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're currently on your third marriage.
Yes, I am.
All right. So what do you think went wrong with the first two that's not going to go wrong with this one?
Well, it was sketchy at first because both my first and second did not make it past year three.
Okay.
So by the time I got to thinking about it a third time, and I really had to think about it, number one, I'm going to say we've been married for 10 years. We're on our 10th year.
Okay, that's a good start.
And things are going well.
Okay.
I feel like this is the third time's a charm. This will be till death do us part. But we went to therapy. We went to couples therapy for years before we decided that, yes, we think that we're going to do this. And everything went really well. And year three, though, was really sketchy for me because I did not feel like it was like the hump I had to get over.
All right, let me ask you this question. Is Ralph right in that if you've already been divorced twice and when you hit a rough patch in marriage three, does that enter your mind a little quicker than it did before?
Probably.
Yeah.
You think about it. You still think about it.
Right.
You still think, like, this is so hard. It was so much easier being single. I think that's the thought that comes in first. Like,
I think a lot of people who aren't married yet have no idea how hard it is to be married.
Right, right. So, you know, having lived already married and not married, you do kind of just come to that conclusion, or you just sometimes think, like, why did I do this?
Well, you were committed enough this time to go seek some help. And it sounds like it's working out for you. You got past that patch, and at 10 years, are you guys pretty happy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like,
good for you.
Happy.
All right.
Good for you.
Way to go. Glad you called. I hope it works out for you. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's go to Anna from Whittier. Hi, Anna.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Anna.
What?
How many times have you been married?
Three times.
Okay. You sound excited about it.
Now, are you still on your third, or that one's behind you?
No, we just got divorced.
Okay.
But I would call it a successful marriage. It was over 21 years. So it was good.
Wow.
So the first one, I was 18. Doesn't count. Like a mulligan. I call it a pancake marriage. You know, the first one you throw away.
Okay. All right.
Gotcha. And then what happened with the second one? How long were you married the second time?
I was 25 years old, and it lasted 3 years. But, he did drugs and women, and so that wasn't going to work for me.
That doesn't seem good.
So you're uptight. Okay, gotcha.
All right, so Anna, let me just wrap this up because we have to move on. So you've been married three times. Would you consider a fourth?
Only if he was wealthy, because I'm collecting a really nice alimony right now.
There's a lot going on here.
Anna.
Wow.
I I know.
You're a terrible human, but thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's take one more, and that's Mike, who's getting ready to start his fourth.
Oh, Mike. What are you doing, son? What are you doing?
Mike, come on now.
Come on. You know, a guy's got to have something warm to go to bed with.
Yeah, but you can do that without getting married.
You understand that, right? You understand there are women who will sleep with you without being married to you.
Yeah, but not... I want
it's butt stuff, isn't it? That's what we're talking about here, right?
When you look back on your three marriages, what gives you the confidence to start number four?
Well, I think what gave me the confidence is because, I mean, this chick was just incredible, hot, and related to me at a level that I never related to any woman in the past.
So you feel like this is a better match for you than the other three marriages?
Better match by far, way hotter, she's way younger.
Mike, that is my question.
Mike, how much younger is she?
She's a lot younger.
How much, Mike? How much?
27.
27 years younger?
Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
It's going to last forever.
It's going to go well.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will join us next to talk week 8 of the NFL.
Yeah, can you ask him what team has the best record in the NFL? I can't remember.
I'll make a note, but I'm not sure we'll get to it.
I think it's the same team as last week, but I can't remember now which team.
Is there any way to look it up on the internet? We don't have to waste any time with it on the air?
No, I think you should ask him on the air what team has the best record in the National Football League.
If we get to it, we'll ask.
The Browns are 100%. That's what you're saying.
100% what?
That is a record. Yeah.
Judd Apatow joins us next hour, and we'll be talking about
that. Can you ask Judd Apatow who has the best record in the NFL?
I'm not sure he's the appropriate person. Plus, we'll talk some about that Linkin Park and Friends show Kevin was at on Friday night at the Hollywood Bowl. First, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
We are in a new age of victims of sexual assault speaking out and naming their assailants, which I think is terrific, but it's a little overwhelming sometimes. There's so many people stepping forward, so many stories happening on a daily basis. It's hard to absorb it all, but this one certainly cut through the clutter. Anthony Rapp, who is a Broadway star and also a television and film actor, currently on Star Trek Discovery, he came out over the weekend and said that Kevin Spacey made a sexual, approached him sexually when he was 14 years old, when he attended a party at Kevin Spacey's New York apartment in 1986. He was there. He was the only non-adult at the party. He said he got bored, went into a bedroom to watch TV, and shortly thereafter, around after midnight, realized that no one else was there. Spacey showed up in the doorframe. He believed him to be drunk, and that's when Spacey picked him up, put him on the bed, and tried to climb on top of him. He squirmed away, but he is now speaking out about the incident because he said he was inspired by the many women who have stepped up in light of the Harvey Weinstein scandal and are talking about what happened to them. And they are owning it, and they're being open about it. So that certainly was news. And then Kevin Spacey released a statement where he apologized.
Ugh.
Question mark?
Well, he said he had no memory of it, right?
Yeah, it was a non-apology apology. He said he didn't remember the encounter. It would have been over 30 years ago, he reminded us. Yeah, we understand that. He said, but if I did behave then as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been a deeply inappropriate drunken behavior. And I'm sorry for the feelings he describes having carried with him all these years. Then Spacey proceeded to come out as a gay man in the same statement, which making a lot of people unhappy because they are using the phrase a smokescreen in the sense that it seems as if he's hoping that finally coming forward with his private life had been very private and hush-hush and only rumored about up to this point.
But very rumored.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but still he never commented on it.
Right.
That him now coming out as a gay man would in some way soften the allegation that he tried to sexually force himself on a 14-year-old boy.
How does it soften it? I would
because
it would make it stronger.
That's the look over here. That's the smokescreen. That's the attention grabber.
Oh, I see.
Kevin Spacey comes out as gay is the headline in a lot of these stories. Not Anthony Rapp, 14-year-old actor, assaulted by a grown man. in 1986.
I got you.
They're not focusing on the victim. They're focusing on Kevin Spacey announcing that he's out of the closet.
And you're opening up the gay community to something that they have gotten so far away from, is this whole thing, oh, gay, pedophilia, all of that. You're now opening it up to that old criticism that only pieces of crap believe. You're now opening that up again. To conflate the two is disgusting. And the fact that he did that, shame on you. That is awful. I'm really angry at him. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
You're welcome.
Are you leaving?
Very, very mad at him to even have done that, to put the gay community in that light, whether that was your intention or not. It's awful. It is awful.
Yeah, you shouldn't draw any connections between homosexuality and pedophilia. They're unrelated.
And, agreed.
It seems convoluted and half-assed at best. It's not a real apology, and it's not a real statement, and it seems to be enormously self-serving and self-protective, which is sad.
And a little bit of the wording alluded to the fact that, oh, by the way, you're going to hear more.
Did it?
Yeah. What is the... I don't have the thing in front of me.
As those closest to me know, in my life, I have had relationships with both men and women. I have loved and had romantic encounters with men throughout my life, and I now choose to live as a gay man. I want to deal with this honestly and openly, and that starts with examining my own behavior.
Maybe it was before that.
The story has encouraged me to address other things about my life. I know there are stories out there about me, and that some have been fueled by that fact. By the fact that I've been so protective of my privacy. I think he's just talking about the rumors that he's gay. That's all.
Hmm.
It was in your head.
No, yeah. Okay. Stories about him. I'm just saying. Sit tight. Buckle up.
Wow. Now he's got Kevin Spacey feelings. Let's go into some lighter news. Top 10 movies at the box office. Jigsaw did very well, and why not? Everyone's gearing up for Halloween. It's scary. I wish there was a movie about a werewolf, like a wolfman. Like a scary wolfman movie, like a scary sound effect of like a wolf. Like a wolf.
Like what?
Like a wolfman sound effect. Like a
howl,
the sound effect of
almost?
A wolfman.
Right.
Like the sound a wolfman would make.
Long live the wolfman.
Right, like that.
That is terrifying.
It's terrifying.
Long live the Wolfman.
That guy should be starring in a
right?
movie. Right?
You're not wrong. Long live the Wolfman.
It's terrifying. It's like there's a real wolf in the room. Tyler Perry's Boo 2 came out at number 2 this weekend. Geostorm, Happy Death Day, Blade Runner 2049. Top 5 films at the box office. Thank you for your service. Debuted with just $3.7 million, but that was still good enough to make it number 6 this weekend. Only The Brave, The Foreigner, Suburbicon, debuted with $2.8 million. Kind of a bomb for...
Ralph, you were excited about maybe seeing that. Did you get a chance?
I had no time this weekend to do anything.
It still looks good to me, I'll tell you that.
I will check it out, if not now.
It looked good to me, too, but I didn't have time.
Running? A lot of running?
Saw.
Oh, you saw Saw.
I did, but I didn't see the other one.
Which Saw did you see?
Jigsaw?
Oh, Jigsaw.
That one. You know.
I don't know. How was it?
It was good.
Oh, boy.
It was good.
For the rest of us, that does not translate well.
It's a fun series of movies because of the way they set it up and the intricacies of the games and stuff like that. But it was, it wasn't probably the best one of the series, but it was good.
All right. And it, rounding out your top 10 with $2.5 million this weekend. Bean, did you keep your pants on this weekend at all?
I mean, I showered. I'm not sure what you're getting at, but
I'm getting at
the
new Taylor Swift video. Anybody seen the new Taylor Swift video that dropped?
I did not.
It's Taylor Swift.
Stop whispering.
As a naked robot.
Oh, my God.
All of my favorite things in one video.
It's everything in one disturbing package that I watched this, I said, oh no, I now know exactly what Bean's doing while he watches
right
this.
At that moment.
And I couldn't get that memory out of my head.
If only she climbed onto the Edmund Fitzgerald and sank while singing Halloween Spooks, it would have everything I love.
It really is Bean-tastic.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
And by the way, she wishes she had that robot body, by the way. That robot's body is not Taylor Swift's body. They made some upgrades on the assembly line when they were putting that robot together. Please.
You might as well look your best if you're going to make a music video, right?
She's abused the privilege. That's all I'm saying.
What do you think of the song, though, Ralph?
Ugh.
Why would you ask him that, Bean?
Here's one of the lyrics. and I just kept laughing about it over again. If I'm a thief, then I'll have him on the heist, and we can go live on an island.
No.
Yes.
No.
Come on.
Yes.
That wasn't said.
Yes. Maybe next hour I'll bring some in and break it down a little bit. All right. It is the most candy-ass, BS pop music you've ever heard in your life.
Well, it sounds like she's trying to be sexy, and there's
he
nothing...
He can be my jailer. He can come at this tailor.
There's nothing sexy about her at all.
The robot's pretty sexy.
Well, maybe the robot. Yeah.
Big robot boobies. Today's celebrity birthdays. Henry Winkler's 72 years old today. Kevin Pollak is 60. Gavin Rossdale, 52 years old. And Ivanka Trump celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Writer, director, actor Judd Apatow joins us later this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, let's talk some NFL. Andrew Siciliano is on the line, host of the NFL Network's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. And as we bring him onto the phone, I guess I want to start by saying congratulations, Andrew, on your Browns.
Oh, yeah, that was big. I mean, what, congratulations on leaving during a game?
No, I was saying that they had the lead at halftime for the first time this season. I mean, that seems like that's a big step forward for Cleveland.
Well, I mean, right out of the gates, they had the early 7-0 lead, two-play drive or something like that, bam. Mm-hmm. And then, yep.
And then they browned it up.
They browned it up. But they're going to win a game one day, right? Because they got to get some – at the end of the season, they're going to be playing somebody who's going to be resting some starters for the playoffs, right?
Well, they did win one game last year and the last two seasons, because I know you guys are good at math. They're
sure.
1-23. Uh-huh. Losing 23 out of 24 is hard to do.
I don't know any Browns fans, but I feel bad for them, huh?
Well, here's why you should feel bad. Good morning, Kevin. Is that Deshaun Watson threw for 450-something yards, four touchdowns, ran for 50. Like, Deshaun Watson had one of those, like, wake up the kids, call the neighbors, did you see that kind of
Houston
game.
Texans, right?
Mm-hmm. Again. And remember, the Browns could have had him last year. Not at one, right? I mean, they could have had him at one, but they took Myles Garrett, who's a very good player and is doing well. But they could have had him at 12.
Wow.
12. And they traded that pick to the Houston Texans.
Wow. I did not remember that. That must kill them right now.
It probably doesn't feel good after landing at, what time, I think 11 o'clock Eastern on the flight from London last night after losing again. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about some other things in week 8 of the NFL. In a few words, Andrew, Raiders fans had so much anticipation for this season. It seemed like the building blocks were in place that this was going to be the breakthrough year for Oakland. What has gone so horribly wrong here through the first half?
No one has an answer, and I wish I did, but they're scratching their collective heads because Derek Carr is still there. Granted, he missed one game, okay, but it was only one game. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper had a horrible first 6 weeks of the season. Now all of a sudden he's picked it up. Marshawn Lynch was suspended for a week, but he clearly is not the Marshawn Lynch he was 2, 3, 4 years ago in Seattle.
Right.
And anyone, by the way, who thought he was going to be that guy, you're delusional. He's 32. He hadn't played in a couple of years. He wasn't going to be that guy.
I just thought they hired him as a mascot, as just to be a guy to get the honestly, just to get the fans excited and happy to see a familiar local boy back home, you know?
To get turned. Yes.
There you go.
Oh, Andrew.
You were leading me. Oh, Allie, he led me right into it.
I know, but come on now.
Yeah, listen, their defense, so see, here's your historically bad part of the defense. So they don't have an interception yet through 8 games. And I said it was hard to lose 23 out of 24 games. This is almost impossible to not have an interception through the first 8 games.
Just by accident?
Exactly. So impossible. This hasn't happened since 1950.
Wow.
That a team played its first 8 games without intercepting a pass.
Do they have bad corners, or is it just unlucky, or what is it?
It's a little bit of both. They actually went out and drafted 2 defensive backs early, first and second round, guys that they thought would make immediate difference through various reasons, injuries, legal, whatever. Neither of those guys has done much so far. Excuse me. They also are just, they had a huge gaping hole at linebacker. That's why they had to go sign Navarro Bowman 2 weeks ago. I guess is a long story short answer, or long answer. I don't know why they're not better, but they have major defensive issues. There's still time to save the season, but they better hurry up.
All right. First place Rams in the NFC West, they had a bye week this week. The Chargers, what kind of grade do you give them in their loss against New England?
Pretty good. I mean, they hung with it until the very end. They think they got screwed by an offensive pass interference call at the end, and they probably have a good case. But they also have the boneheaded play of the week, of the year, if not that. Travis Benjamin, who was the hero last week, fielded a punt on the Patriots' 10-yard line and ran backwards.
Yeah, that wasn't smart.
Into the end zone, right?
Into the end zone.
I mean, that seems like something you shouldn't do.
Yeah, he went to the upside down.
Right.
And it was worth 2 points for the other team. And look, at the end, the Chargers still had a shot. And I will say this about the Chargers. I have been notably snarky about them at times this year because they opened this season as they have in seasons past, which is finding new and ever more creative ways to lose games. And mm-hmm. everyone sat there and said, these are the same old Chargers. Yet, they had won three in a row. The week before they started the winning streak, they had almost beaten the Eagles, right? They had almost beaten the Dolphins. They had almost beaten the Broncos. They had all these kicker issues. You look at them and say, wow, this team had so many close calls. Maybe you should get more credit. And I think you probably give them the same grade for their performance yesterday against the Patriots to almost win there.
Right.
But they didn't win.
Okay. All right. Before we let you go, Andrew, I have to ask, because it's very rare that you have only two games going on the red zone like you did yesterday afternoon. Are you super bored during that? Like, you watching two games is nothing, right?
Yeah, I was bored.
You need it. How many do you need? At least four to be interested?
No, three. But
I noticed at the end of your coverage that you mentioned that there were more games next week, and you're very excited about that.
Think about how crazy this is, that in 2017 we're sitting here saying watching two football games at once isn't enough stimulus.
Yeah, true. Right.
I mean, think about that. Look, they had a scheduling quirk that had six teams on a bye. They had a game in London yesterday. I love my job. Watching two games is never boring. But it actually makes the show a lot more difficult because you have so much more time to fill. The chance that they're both at commercial at the same time is actually very, very high.
Right, right,
so
right.
You always have to find ways to fill time. When there's more than two, three, four, five games, it's easy. You just go to another game. It doesn't matter if they're punting or whatever. There's at least another game out there.
It's so funny that yesterday Andrew was having plenty of time to tweet, and he's just like taking random pictures of the studio, just looking for things to do.
I went outside and played catch for a little bit.
Well, you do a great job, as always, on the Red Zone, and we'll look for you on the NFL Network's Up to the Minute this afternoon. Andrew, thank you for the time. We'll do it again next Monday. We appreciate
it, sir.
Thank
you, guys.
I feel like Weezer is awfully prolific these days. They just had an album come out on Friday, and then I saw an interview over the weekend where they think their next one's coming out in March.
Wow.
Slow down, guys.
It's got a lot of songs, man.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited. I know we've had them play at a lot of our shows in recent years at Weenie Roast and Acoustic Christmas. I always love seeing Weezer.
Yeah, they're always great.
I'm always excited when they're
on. I'd like them every year on those shows.
I'd be fine with that, too. Speaking of shows, Friday night was something special. Kevin, I'm so glad that you were there. You can give us a firsthand experience because, you know, you go to a Linkin Park show and you're ready to rock. But this Linkin Park show at the Hollywood Bowl was a commemoration, a celebration of the life of Chester Bennington. So what was the vibe like? What were people feeling and expecting when they walked in? Because on the one hand, it's Linkin Park. You want to rock. On the other hand, it's kind of a somber occasion. So how did that play?
It was a mixture of both. You were excited to be there. You were excited to sort of mourn Chester, but you were also excited that Linkin Park was doing their first thing, you know, in a long time, and you didn't know who all the friends were going to be that were coming out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of exciting that way.
And they said, and they advertised it as a celebration of life. Was that the mood from the stage, which was, let's focus on how great it was that we got to spend this time with Chester, rather than let's all get together and cry about how sad we are that he's gone?
It was, for the most part, yes. There were a couple of moments. One of the highlights, I thought, was Chester's wife, Talinda, who came out.
Yeah.
And gave a really heartfelt speech about depression and about suicide. And I thought that was really amazing. And the other was the new song that Mike Shinoda wrote, which I thought was also amazing. He said it was only partly finished, and he didn't know what was going to happen with it, and maybe they would make it a Linkin Park song, which then led me to think, oh, they are actually planning on moving forward, which is good.
They didn't say anything about that, though.
No, but he said this might become a Linkin Park song, it might not, when mm-hmm. he played it. So that's just what I was inferring from that. But here, mm-hmm. I have about a minute of the song. And he said he wrote this 8 days. They were at a photo shoot when they found out that Chester committed suicide. And he waited about 8 days. And then he sat down at a piano and he wrote this song.
Is there sunshine where you are? The way there was when you were here. 'Cause I'm just sitting in the dark. The disbelief that this is real. And disbelief that this is real. Have I been lost all along? Was there something I could say? Something I should not have done? Was I lost all along? Was I looking for an answer when there never really was one? Was I looking for an answer when there never really was one?
So I thought that was that was amazingly done, you know?
Wow.
Who can sit down and put that into words 8 days later? So that was really powerful. But most of the night was guests coming out and singing Linkin Park songs. And Alanis Morissette came out. The guys from No Doubt came out. Jonathan Davis from Korn came out. So a lot of it was pretty upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a nice mixture. And they had some sound issues, but you didn't really care.
Right. You're just happy to be there.
Yeah.
And they had announced ahead of time that there were going to be members of Korn and Blink-182 and System of a Down and others that were going to be there. But then there were some surprises, too. Like, did we know Alanis Morissette was going to be there?
I didn't know.
I was surprised to hear that.
She came out with the three guys from No Doubt.
What about Gavin Rosdale? He was another surprise.
That was a surprise,
just
too.
Just came out.
I talked to him afterwards, and he said, I've never been more nervous to do a song because when you do your own song, it's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're doing someone else's song at a place that's a celebration for that singer.
In front of all of their fans?
Yes.
And friends.
He was scared out of his mind, he said. He just wanted to get through it and not screw up somebody else's song.
Yeah. What about Machine Gun Kelly?
He was great.
Amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was really good.
He did Paper Cut, yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Derek Whibley is still alive from Sum 41.
Who knew?
I was very surprised to see, that.
Steve Aoki came out. You know, he's done some remixes for them and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was really a great night.
I saw pictures of what looked like an opportunity for fans to leave a message.
Yes.
You could sign a thing or write a message like that. And that looked, very emotional.
Yeah, it was huge. Like, you would see a picture of it, but it was 10 times as wide as that picture showed.
Yeah.
I mean, and there was just covered with people writing messages.
Well, I'm sure it was a very difficult night for our friends in Linkin Park, but you have to get back on stage that first time and get that behind you, I think. And you have to close a chapter in order to start thinking about what you're going to do next. And they're so talented. There's so many really talented people in that band. I'm sure they will find a way to go forward.
I mean, the last time they found Chester, he wasn't well known. He was in Phoenix. He was in a band.
They were just auditioning people to sing, right?
Yes, and that's how they found Chester.
But it's a lot harder this time around,
of course,
because now you got something to look, you know.
Now you have to compare it to Chester, exactly. Right? Who's one of the great vocalists? Yeah.
Well, you can find lots of coverage and video and whatnot at krock.com. If you didn't get the opportunity to be there or see it yet, the Linkin Park and Friends recap from the Hollywood Bowl Friday night on KROQ.
More on the longest World Series game of all time?
It felt like it.
You know what? I don't
Let's
know
just
that
say
I,
it was.
I don't know that I heard officially that was the case, but it sure has to be in the running. That's
sure
for
does.
Sure.
More on
especially
that.
For only a 10-inning game, too.
Yeah. More on that
they played
coming
long
up on,
enough to be 20 innings.
More on that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show soon.
First, though, Judd Apatow is on the line. We always love catching up with Judd. He has a very special event with his friend Adam Sandler this Friday night at the Largo at the Coronet. Hey, Judd. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
It's good to be back. How's it going?
Good. Right, do you have Dodger fever, by the way?
You know what? Here's the thing. I'm very conflicted. I'm a Mets fan, and I'll change who I'm rooting for mid game.
Really?
Just based on like the look on someone's face, you know, someone's acting uncool. I'm like, I don't like that guy. I flip back.
But it's okay. Now tell me if this is right. I don't know how big a sports fan you are, Judd, but this has been my feeling. If you move someplace from another city, you can still love your hometown boyhood team, but also adopt a team in the city in which you now live. I think it's okay for you to be a Mets fan and also a Dodgers fan as long as they're not playing each other.
I agree with you. I have a lot of sympathy for the Hurricane, and it's a very charismatic team, the Houston team, and the Dodgers are awesome. So basically, if like a guy trashes the dugout because he struck out, I'm like, I'm flipping teams.
All right,
and he acts like a wimp and acts like a baby. I'm like, I don't like that guy's face, and then I flip.
So you flip flop like 25 times last night, I assume.
Yeah, every time someone looks like they're going to cry, I'm like, okay, I'm bailing on you.
Now, we want to talk about your event on Friday night. I love that you're doing this, and it's for a wonderful cause. But I want to start by asking, you and Adam Sandler, I think people will be surprised to find out, go back how far, Judd?
Well, we lived together in 1990 for a while when we were first starting out. And it was discouraging for me, generally, due to he had something I didn't have, which was called charisma.
Oh. And I understand you're living in the valley, and somehow you got the bed and he got the couch. How was that decided, if you recall?
Well, that's what it was. Is there were two rooms. One had a bathroom in it, and one was like didn't have a bathroom. And I had to use the other bathroom that, like, all the skis bags who would visit us would use.
Okay.
And so Adam got the room with the bathroom, so he paid $475 a month. I didn't. I paid $425. You know, and back then, you know, when your rent was $425, you could make very little money and still pay that rent.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, so you were just basically, you know, I was working for Comic Relief making $200 a week and then maybe scraping together a couple of $100 here and there writing jokes for Tom Arnold or Jeff Dunham and Peanuts.
But you had to use the skeezy bathroom then.
But I had to use the skeezy, dirty bathroom. And then every once in a while, Adam would have a friend from NYU who suddenly would just show up and go, Adam said I could live on his couch for the whole summer.
Now, what was he doing in 1990? Was he just trying to get a stand-up career going?
He was doing a lot of stuff on MTV on Remote Control. Remember Remote
Control?
Oh, right.
Sure.
He was doing Stud Boy and VJing a little bit, but trying to get, you know, get a gig. We were all just trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to get in the door?
Yeah.
And so that was the big, you know, the big part of our day, which is, you know, can we be funny enough at the improv for anyone to notice me?
And then my guess is that he moved out. He got something where he was making enough where he didn't have to live with you anymore.
Well, he got Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Because it was very hard, you know, to get gigs. You know, we auditioned to host this show for Jim Henson, this reality show, and we both didn't get it. And then I got a call, Jim Henson's people called and said, he doesn't want you to be on the show, but he wants to buy all the ideas you were pitching for the show.
Oh, wow.
And then we were like, well, why doesn't he want me? And they said, because Jim Henson said he thinks that you lack warmth.
No.
Well, they're usually not that honest, I don't think, are they?
Yeah, that's which is like Mr. Rogers saying you don't deserve love.
Well, let's file that quote away. God forbid the day that we lose Judd Apatow, that's going to be the
what
first line of his obituary.
What is wrong
with you?
Wow. Say,
that's a turn.
Jim Henson said he lacked warmth has to be in your obituary, Judd. I'm just saying.
I hope it's like a second line.
It's pretty great. All right, so you and Adam have stayed friends and worked together throughout the years, and you are teaming up for a very special event this Friday night at the Largo at the Coronet. Please tell us about it, sir.
Well, you know, we try to do a lot of benefits at Largo, which is out in, you know, La Cienega. It's a great club, and we're raising money for the victims of the Vegas shooting. You know, the news moves so quickly.
It does.
That people just forget that there's a lot of people who are still in the hospital and a lot of people in intensive care still. So we're doing a benefit at Largo on Friday night. You can get tickets at Largo-LA.com, and there'll be a bunch of surprises. It'll be one of those shows where you're like, that's ridiculous that those people showed up. And
now,
it's going to be really fun.
I do want to warn people, because it is a charity event for a good cause, the National Compassion Fund, it is a very pricey ticket, but you can guarantee $250 worth of entertainment that night.
I didn't know. Aren't the tickets to Springsteen in New York $900 for the worst seat? At least this goes to help people. And it's a great charity because all the money goes directly to the victims. There's no expenses, no costs.
That's nice.
And they give everything directly to people. So I I won't say. I'll say my act is worth about $80 of that.
Okay, that's a good start. That's a good start
because you lack warmth.
You know, but you go see Bieber, it's going to cost you $700.
That's
so
a good
I
point.
Feel like we can compete. I feel very competitive.
Every penny of this is worth it. Absolutely. I'm not trying to discourage people from going. I just don't want people to be surprised if they go to find out the tickets are that much because it is for a good cause. So you're going to
it's
do
deductible.
It's deductible. And it's deductible too. Right.
Really, it's $125. But also, what you can do is tell people you care about other people, and they might like you more.
I see.
Why is Bean making him explain this
I'm not
to
positive.
This point?
I'm not positive.
I'm not trying to do that at all.
Why would I ever want to go to this?
I'm not saying that.
It's a rare event. It's a, you know, this is one of those rare things. This is like the Live Aid of Friday.
All right, so you're doing stand-up. Adam's doing stand-up. Is there any? Are you willing to tip your hand at anything else going on with the special guests?
There's actually somebody. You know, every once in a while, someone will be like, "I'm going to come," but you can't tell anybody,
right?
And so, yes, we're going to have
who's that?
Special guests. I wish I could even give a clue.
Oh.
Well, on the poster, there's a cat on top of a crystal ball.
Well, I wish I could say it was David Copperfield was coming.
Damn it, that's what I was going for.
But we'll see. But we do have some special guests, and it's so fun. It's fun to see people in a very intimate environment, you know, as opposed to, you know, the giant theaters.
Right.
It's a small 250-seat club, and it'll be very, very cool.
Oh, it's going to be a magic night, and we know you and your friends and the crowd that you run with, and I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful night. So here's what you do. You go to Largo-LA.com to buy the tickets. They are available right now for this Friday night at the Largo at the Cornet, but obviously it will sell out, and it'll sell out fast. And if you want more information or just want to contribute, the charity is nationalcompassionfund.org, nationalcompassionfund.org. And I'm glad you brought that up about the victims. I mean, there are still so many people in the hospital right now and so many people with shattered lives that need help. And you're right. We have moved on past Las Vegas because so many bad things have happened since then. But thank you for doing this, Judd, and thank you for jumping on the show. We always love talking to you.
Oh, I appreciate it. All right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
The Kevin and Bean Research Department up on floor 21, Kevin, looked into the longest game in World Series history for you.
We don't have a floor 21, Bean. We just have the bottom floor.
Last night's game five. And by the way, we'll talk to Matt Money Smith about the Dodgers game last night.
Nice sense of whimsy there, Kevin, by the way.
Last night's game was 5 hours and 17 minutes. The longest game in World Series history happened back in 2005. It was the White Sox versus the Astros. It was 5 hours and 41 minutes.
It's the freaking Astros.
That was inning 14, by the way. I didn't know the Astros had been to the World Series before. That's what this says. I didn't remember them ever even making it to the World Series. But 5 hours and 41 minutes is the longest World Series game of all time. So we've still got tomorrow night to try to beat that.
Let's not try to beat that.
Okay.
How can you tell the difference between a long baseball game and a longer baseball game? They all feel like an eternity.
There's a lot of time between things
if
happening.
If you didn't have a watch, if you didn't have some sort of time-telling device, wouldn't they all feel about 6 hours long?
No.
Really? Just the scent, just the vibe?
No, there are some games that are brisk that go by in 2.5 hours.
Brisk.
There was a 2-hour and 28-minute game that I thought seemed like a long game.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Until last night.
Right.
I realized it wasn't.
Well, I think we can all agree that 5 hours is too long for any sporting game in any sport.
So fix it.
At least they added video replay to baseball now so that they can... I'm just going to all
really
go over and put on headphones.
Worst sport in the world. Worst sport in the world.
I got to tell you, I'm really enjoying this World
Curling
Series.
Curling crushes it. Badminton dwarfs it. It's just goddamned awful.
You're missing out, Ralph. You're missing out. You really are.
I'm really not. I sat on my ass on the couch, just watched about 100 hours of football yesterday, and I was just fine.
I wish the Dodgers won, but last night was a great game.
8:53, Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
I was watching the... football game. Right?
Yeah.
It's a really good game.
Yeah.
It's also a good game. Till the end. What's up? This is pretty cool. CBS Radio. Now look, I don't know how much longer I have to just say CBS Radio is good, but they seem to be doing a good thing here.
You have to say it now.
All right.
Two weeks left, I think, is how long there is a CBS Radio.
They're putting together this New Year's Eve weekend series of shows in Vegas. Which I gotta say, I would definitely go to 2 out of 3 of them.
All right.
They're having on the 29th. And this is all happening at the Cosmopolitan Hotel Resort in Las Vegas.
On the 29th, Friday the 29th, you have the Zac Brown Band. See if you can guess which one of these shows I would skip.
I'm saying this one.
You might be right.
Yes. Yeah. We don't even know who the other ones are, but yeah, Zac Brown, you're
That's out. Friday night, right?
Okay. Okay.
Saturday night, December 30, Duran Duran.
Okay.
Duran Duran.
That's a nice New Year's Eve weekend.
Duran Duran.
Right.
Sure.
I'm saying.
You have to say it that way?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm all in.
All right.
If it was just Hungry Like the Wolf over and over again, I would go to that.
You're
going
to see that?
Yeah. Then, New Year's Eve, Sunday night, New Year's Eve, to ring in 2018, a little band I like to call Foo Fighters.
Oh, man.
Foo Fighters, New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve with Foo Fighters.
That's pretty awesome.
That is a show. Now we know what Kevin will be doing on New Year's Eve. That's just broke. This news, this lineup just broke.
Wow.
You can find out more information somewhere, not here.
Probably a Cosmopolitan website, I would imagine.
Sure.
I think it's up at krock.com as well.
There you go.
Yep.
And also, beginning today, CBS Radio's radio.com will offer listeners the chance to win tickets.
All right.
Along with meet and greets and round trip airfare to Vegas and hotel accommodations. So you can win a whole package at radio.com. Yes, there is a thing called radio.com, by the way. You should check it out sometime. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As we lead up to Halloween, no surprise, Jigsaw took the crown at number one with $16.3 million.
Why does Kevin hate that dude so much?
Oh, he hates Tobin Bell.
I couldn't get him
out of the studio quick enough.
Nicest guy in the world.
Tobin Bell was trying to talk, trying to do an interview, and Kevin's like, there's some commercials, and just played commercials over the man trying to speak.
I mean, it was an accident, but
it was intentional, and Kevin hates Tobin Bell.
That's just not the case.
Well, let's go to the tape and see what it sounds like.
Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Happy week on K-Rock.
Close your windows.
Prosecution rest, Your Honor.
I think that evidence supports Mr. Garvin this time.
Let's send the jury into the jury room for deliberation, shall we?
He couldn't have been nicer.
On the back, guilty!
He couldn't have been nicer.
No, right. That's what we're saying.
Nicest guy in the world.
Right. So why did you do that to him?
It was an accident. I didn't do it.
You're looking at his mouth, and his mouth is moving, and words are coming out, and you pushed a button to
start
commercials.
Sometimes that happens. What are you supposed to do?
It doesn't happen to anyone.
CBS Tonight.
See, he just did that to me.
I don't hate it.
Just hit the guy right in the face.
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Right.
I think. Thank you.
Tyler Perry's Boo 2 was second. Geostorm, Happy Death Day, and Blade Runner 2049. Top five films. Thank you for your service. Only the brave, The Foreigner, Suburbicon debuted with just $2.8 million. Made it number nine, and it rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Justin Hartley from This Is Us. Mm-hmm. He got married over the weekend. His lovely bride, Chriselle Stouse.
Congratulations, Kevin.
They're adorable, that couple. By the way, let's not forget, he was also Oliver Queen, a.k.a. the Green Arrow on Smallville.
Oh.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did an unsold pilot where he starred as Arthur Curry / Aquaman.
Did you just mention an unsold pilot?
I did. It's great, though. You got to see it.
Wow.
It's available. You can watch it. You can find it. It's bootlegged. You got
to
get yourself the Aquaman pilot for CW.
Feel like someone would have
bought it. When they were going to do an Aquaman a TV series on the CW, they cast Justin Hartley, and he was awesome. And they liked him so much, they made him Green Arrow in Smallville. And now he's on that show that everyone cries a lot
This Is Us.
About.
Best.
His bride should be careful about his addiction to painkillers.
Sure, that means something to someone who
just
watches
on the
that show.
Well, he's just part of his TV show. Hurt his knee filming that Sylvester Stallone movie, and I'm just saying, looks like he's got a little bit of a problem. She should be careful, that's all.
I feel like they're lovely on their own.
Damn it, man, is there anything you don't know?
Corey Feldman.
Guilty.
He is not charged with anything.
Should be.
He's going on the Today Show today.
All right, to perform.
Not with his band, I hope.
Not with his band, no. He's going on because he is going to expose pedophilia in the movie industry.
Oh.
He is going to release the names of known pedophiles in the entertainment industry in his new movie that he's raising money for via crowdsourcing. He says he's going to make a documentary about pedophilia in the movie industry, and all he needs to raise is $10 million.
Oh, that's it?
That's all.
Okay.
So he's going on today's show to promote that site to send him money so he can raise a $10 million budget for this film that he wants
to make.
But
he's going to release some of the names on the Today Show.
I don't
right?
think so.
Oh, Corey.
I assume that there are some ugly stories, but I don't know that I would trust Corey Feldman with that.
I would.
Would you?
Yeah, that's why Corey Haim took his life. Yeah.
However, Corey Haim's mom isn't on board with Corey Feldman's plan.
Oh, no. Never mind.
She calls him a scam artist.
All right, I take it back.
Saying it's nothing but a long con.
Well, that, yeah. Release the names
And believes
now.
If he was serious, he'd share the information with police today.
Yeah. I agree. And he has an obligation, if he knows something, to share that information.
But he needs $10 million.
Ah.
I also need $10 million, by the way. And if you give me $10 million, I will release the names of all the places I've had cocktails.
Oh, that's very
that
great.
Is a long
that's
list.
A long list. That's why it has to be $10 million. Yeah. It's going to be a long film.
Boy, that is, he's not playing that well.
No.
That's not cool.
A lot of people not playing stuff well today. Him, Kevin Spacey, a lot of people misstepping in a time where people could be raising these causes up, be actually helping either heal or get expose these monsters to the light of day. People are just falling by the wayside, making huge mistakes. Today's celebrity birthdays, though. Here's a guy who never makes a mistake. Henry Winkler. Is there a nicer guy in Hollywood than Henry Winkler?
No.
He's not.
No.
72 years old today. Kevin Pollak, another nice guy. Funny. One of my heroes. Just funny, super talented actor, and impressionist beyond good. Expert.
He's one of the best Kevins there is.
There's a small handful, and he's at the top of the list, in my opinion. Well, no, if Kevin Smith is listening, I guess.
I guess you sort of have to.
Yeah. Gavin Rossdale is 52 years old today, and Ivanka Trump turns 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, stand by for tickets to the Anaheim Ducks. Their ultimate foes, the Nashville Predators, are coming to town this Friday night, and we'll give you some tickets in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, there is a podcast called Lore. Allie, I know you're all in on Lore. You love Lore.
All in.
Aaron Mankey is a very successful in the business, executive producer of The Walking Dead, X-Files, done a lot of stuff. Started this podcast a few years ago, has over 5 million monthly listens, and now, just in time for Halloween, it is available on Amazon Prime Video. They have made what we used to call a TV show, except it's on Amazon, about Lore, and it is fascinating. We have to find out more. Aaron joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good.
We're doing
you.
Great as well. It's such a surprising journey that Lore has taken. You didn't originally even think it was going to be a podcast, right?
No, I had no idea. So this is all the free prize at the end of the game. I like it.
What did you think when you started it out? You just have a hardcore little smaller audience?
Yeah. The short answer is I have been writing novels and self-publishing them myself, sort of in the Stephen King vibe, and I wanted to get people to sign up for an email list so that I could let them know when new books are available. So I wrote this thing that I let them download, a PDF that they could just, like the history behind some of these weird and quirky historical facts. And I gave up on the idea before I went through with it, and a friend convinced me to record it for audio and put it out as a podcast, and there we go.
And this was just one of those moments where you literally were dragging it into your trash at one point so that nobody would ever hear it, and now look, it's turned into such a thing.
Absolutely, yeah. It makes you wonder what you throw away sometimes, right?
Right, exactly.
Not me, but you, yes.
Yeah, most of us don't have enough good ideas where we're throwing them away. Right? All right, so how does it end up now being made into a video that we can watch?
It's been a fun process. About 4 or 5 months into making the podcast, I started getting production companies that were reaching out to me, and I signed up with the gang over at Propagate, who make Planet of the Apps from Apple, and they're run by Howard Owens, used to be the head of Nat Geo, and Ben Silverman, head of NBC, and it's just a great crew there, and they've got a lot of talent. And then we partnered up with Valhalla, who make The Walking Dead, and obviously Gail Ann Hurd has made a lot of amazing cultural stuff like Aliens and Terminator 2.
Sure. Right.
And and then we just kind of move forward. I've learned that TV is a really slow process, so it's been about 2 years in the works of from those first conversations until going live, but yeah, it's been fantastic.
How did you decide which episodes you would make into the TV show?
Well, that was a hard one, but because so many of them are so good for that, hopefully more seasons will mean more chances at that. But we wanted to go into this with some more familiar, like horror folklore archetypes, those things like vampires, werewolves, the stuff that people don't need a lot of education to even get the concept. And then you can just jump right into the really neat folklore about it. And so that's why we settled on the six we did.
Well, the fact that you have echoes on there at all makes it all worth it for me, because that's my favorite episode of Lore.
It's such a good story. You know, what was different about that one is that the podcast episode isn't very character-driven. You know, there's just it's a lot of history and then some stories from the Danvers State Hospital when it existed. And, you know, to go to TV, you really need to tie that to a good character drama. And being able to dig into the life of Walter Freeman, you know, the guy who basically pioneered the ice pick lobotomy. And that created, I think it's one of my favorite of the season.
Guys, you just heard the words ice pick lobotomy from our guest, Aaron.
Yes.
Happy Halloween.
That's a good band name, too.
This is a guy, and for folks who don't know the story, the summary of it is that he was trying to clear out the mental hospitals, right? He said, hey, these people, a lot of these people are in there with problems, with depression, with other things that we can cure by just making a disconnect in their brain, and we can do it in an office in 10 minutes where we just sever some nerves, basically, right?
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, he had really noble goals. You know, the mental health profession at the time was basically lock them up and leave them there. And he thought that he could get them out. He thought if we just, provided this procedure, which he traveled the country in a vehicle he called the Lobotomobile. You can, you know, picture the ice cream truck music that played while he drove around town. In Essex,
I don't
right?
want
an ice pick and a hammer. I'm out.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Aaron, I don't know how, I mean, I think you make these historically accurate, right? But he never washes his hands. He doesn't wear a mask.
There's a lot of hygiene.
There's no assistant. Yeah. I mean, just throws a kid on a table and just sticks an ice pick in his eye.
Yeah, I mean, he really envisioned this as an outpatient procedure you could get done right in your doctor's office, like, having a cavity filled. It's just amazing that he did it.
All right, what about, there must be some things over the course of Lore, and maybe in some of these episodes that are up on Amazon Prime, where you realize that it is being reported as fact, but in your mind you know it's not possible. And one thing I'll throw out to you, for instance, is the kid who's got the doll that kills people in his house. I mean, you know that doll doesn't come to life and kill people, so how do you explain what happened there?
Well, I mean, you have concepts like psychosomatic, where, you know, you believe something enough and physical symptoms start to come into place. People who think that they're sick all the time and they actually make their body sick. And
right.
So, you know, the case can be made for the tension being so high in that house and people just being so freaked out by what they suspect that, you know, that great aunt having a stroke, you know, maybe that stroke was brought on by just too much stress related to Robert. And, you know, then there's just a lot of unanswered questions, but it's
maybe it was
one
the
of those
doll.
Lines I have to. What's that?
Maybe it was the doll.
I mean, that's the other end of the equation. I think it's that line that I have to walk when I make any of these episodes. Is there's you can come down either believing or disbelieving, but I want to walk the middle so that I can let people make their own minds up.
Right.
But you know, at the same time, I think that some of the power is just in the unanswered questions. I think that's what makes it more popular.
Well, I'm telling you, people are going to love this. It's perfect for Halloween. They are so beautifully filmed and so much great production value. I know that sounds like a boring thing to say, but it really makes a difference when you're watching a show. It's just beautiful to look at.
Before we let him go, Aaron, I'm going to be back home for Thanksgiving. I want to just hang out with you and talk about weird crap.
Do you think Aaron is free during Thanksgiving?
He just said I get that a lot. Listen, Aaron, I want to feel special. Let's talk about weird crap.
Okay, you have your people, call my people. We'll work it out.
All right.
A couple of assholes try to plan a date here. And before we say goodbye, Aaron, it's a podcast, obviously, Lore. It's also on Amazon Prime, and it's a book as well?
Yeah, it's the first of three books, actually, a three-book series from Penguin Random House. First book came out like just 3 days before the TV show earlier this month. So you can find links for all of it over at theworldoflore.com, and that'll point you to the TV show, the podcast, the books, all of it.
That's great. Theworldoflore.com. Check it out, you guys. Aaron, thank you for jumping on. We really appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ.
Woo!
KROQ! You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Kids love their Nirvana, don't they? How about that?
They never tell you how much he got for the world, by the way. The man who sold the world. It must have been a pretty penny, right?
It can't be cheap.
Must have made a pretty good profit, I would think, on that. Okay, back to you.
And who even has the right to sell the world, by the way? Like, what makes him think he owned it?
The patent office? He went down to the patent office?
No.
Trademarked it?
Maybe so. Hey, it's 9:39. Rob is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I bet Gene Simmons has tried that.
Yeah, probably.
It's now called Kiss World. By the way, how great is it to have Bean Baxter back on the show, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, you're very kind.
After a long vacation, he's back. He's tanned. He's rested. He's ready.
Why do I feel like another shoe is about to drop?
There's no shoes.
Okay. Long live the Wolfman.
Well, maybe one shoe. That was like a slipper. That wasn't even really a shoe.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Ralph. I missed all of you.
Well, it's good to have you back. You have no idea what went on here last week.
How dare you?
I'm just saying you have no idea.
How good it was.
Sure.
Chip says, Chip was exhausted by the end of last week. She was wore out.
I mean, she did a lot.
I heard Chip cried after work on more than one occasion.
No, she didn't. She sure earned it.
How good did you sleep Friday when you got home, Chip?
I crashed so hard.
Right? It's like the end of a long nightmare.
Come on now.
We all just exhaled.
We all had a great week.
We did. It was fun for everyone. Maybe not the audience, but everyone else. Had a good time. Top 10 movies at the box office. That's what we look at on a Monday morning. And this Monday is no different. Jigsaw debuted with $16.3 million. Now, Kevin, you saw the Jigsaw over the weekend.
Yes.
Did they address the issue that Jigsaw has been dead for a decade at the time period this film takes place?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's almost acceptable.
Really? Just because I think that's where they had themselves sort of painted into a corner, is that they killed off their lead.
Yeah, there was
a film ago.
There were some problems with it. I really did enjoy the intricacies of the games and the stuff that he comes up with. That's very creative, but there were a couple of problems with it.
How about the basketball game? Tyler Perry's Boo 2. There's that audience of one, that joke right there. Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween came in.
How was that,
two.
Kevin?
Didn't see that.
I'm shocked. Geostorm? How was Geostorm?
All I saw was Jigsaw this weekend.
Okay.
You're going to see Geostorm.
A lot of baseball watching.
Happy Death Day was fourth. Blade Runner 2049. Thank you for your service debut with just $3.7 million. I was wondering if that was going to make any money at the box office. I think people are bummed out and fried about people going away, especially recently, and serving in faraway places and coming back to their loved ones damaged or worse. Deceased.
Yeah, there's a lot of
That'd be a hard
bad,
film for me to watch, I think.
A lot of bad news out there other than that as well. So
yeah.
You could be weary.
I would choose not to see that film, I think. In another place and time, maybe I would. But when I saw the topic, I said, no, it's too grim for me. Only the Brave, seventh. The Foreigner, Suburbicon. New film with Matt Damon, directed by George Clooney. Only made $2.8 million. That made it number nine. And It, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. HMV.com. You familiar with HMV?
Sure.
Kevin, you know HMV?
Yeah, it's the, they give you your driver's license. Right?
DMV.
Oh,
HMV, no, it's not the same
not
at all.
The same.
HMV is a big chain of music and video stores.
Oh, no.
Believe it or not, such a thing still exists.
Never heard of it.
It's a combination sort of music, DVD, CD, Blu-rays kind of thing, but also they do merch and T-shirts and things like that.
And what's it stand for, Ralph?
Stands for how much value.
That's a good guess. It's a throwback to the old RCA record slogan, His Master's Voice.
Wow.
That's where the name came from. Remember the famous picture of the dog
sure.
looking into the gramophone?
Yeah, right.
That's where HMV took its name.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
Wow.
Now a little less happy that you're back. Just a smidge.
And what was that dog's name?
Oh,
come on now.
That dog's name, I don't know. I'm sorry to say I don't.
I don't either.
I'm just going to say Spot then. It was Spot.
That was Buster. No?
Email bean at krock.com.
Call it now. Call it now if you know the name of the RCA mascot dog.
Nipper. I know.
It was Nipper.
Nipper. Right?
Oh, now that we hear it,
she was going to guess Nipper.
1-800.
Oh, wait. 520. We don't need anyone to call?
We don't need it anymore, no.
Did you have it, Allie? Did you know Nipper?
Knew Nipper.
You didn't
I'm sorry.
Know Nipper.
I knew
she
Nipper.
Would have said Nipper if she knew
We
Nipper.
Talked about this before, but I thought this was pretty interesting. They surveyed 2,000 people and asked them what was the most frightening scene in horror film history from the past 60 years. Most frightening scene in horror movie history.
I will guess Reagan's head, little head spinning
number
around.
Number one.
Pea soup vomit, right?
Head spinning scene from The Exorcist, still number one. Anybody else want to play?
What about Reagan levitating from the bed?
No more Reagans. Stop your Reagans.
All right.
No more Reagans. What about Reagan not acting in time to quell the AIDS crisis in the 80s? That was pretty terrible.
That's a very different thing.
Different Reagan.
I don't think we really need to address this right now.
That was not a horror movie.
I don't think so. I've asked some people, and we're just not going to address that problem right now.
Terrifying.
All of Madea, too?
No, there's no Madea. God bless it. Kevin, you saw something this weekend that maybe should...
Jigsaw. One of the Saw movies?
Yeah, the man had to cut off his own foot in Saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was number 9 on the list.
What about the kids playing soccer with a severed head in Hostel?
No.
Not in there?
The rocking chair and the woman in black from 2012. You ever seen that with Harry Potter?
No.
I don't think so.
That kid? It's good. No. It's terrifying.
What about Don't Look Now with the little troll lady and she's like... Arr! No. The woman that was running around Venice and murdering people, and he kept thinking it was his daughter in the little red coat.
What happened? It's where are we?
One of the greatest horror movies of all time.
What about Poltergeist? You didn't move the bodies!
No. Once again,
no.
Coach yelling did not make the top 10. We do have number 8, the night vision scene from Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
How tight was your sphincter when that scene was going on?
Sure.
Except for Alex, because she poops during those kind of scenes.
Thank you.
Birds, Beer Mug weighs in. Beer Mug's going to
guess. Birds attacking kids in the birds?
Beer Mug doesn't get to guess.
All right.
Sure he does. All right. You guys aren't.
He wants from The Shining. Here's Johnny.
Shining's on the list, but it's the twins in the corridor. It's not Nicholson bursting through the door.
Okay.
The two girls. Yeah. Come play with us.
I don't want
forever.
It.
Forever.
Nope.
And ever. And ever.
Very iconic scene, sure.
Yes. The chest burst scene in Alien?
Sure. Makes sense.
The little girl coming out of the TV in the ring. That may be it for me. That was horrifying. I actually screamed. I remember in the theater when that happened.
I would love to have video of that.
I was not happy with that moment. I was unhappy. How about the final scene in Carrie when she's visiting the grave and the hand comes up and grabs her?
Yeah.
Pretty good, too.
That, by the way, set off a chain reaction of those kind of moments in horror films that had never been done before. Groundbreaking. And number 2, the shower scene from Psycho.
Sure.
Oh, of course.
So there's your scary movie tip sheet.
I don't feel like
for the Halloween week.
I feel like we came up with a lot of those.
We didn't do great.
You still think Craig T. Nelson raising his voice is terrifying? Just a horrible experience.
Why did that scar you so much, Kevin?
It's the most frightening thing ever in a movie. Coach was angry.
This time I did it to be funny. Last time I was serious.
Right. We don't understand that time.
I'm not sure.
This time we get. That first time was the one that threw us.
I'm not sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Henry Winkler is 72 years old today. Kevin Pollak is 60. Gavin Rossdale, singer for Bush, is 52 years old. And Ivanka Trump celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, before we go, we have a pair of tickets to see the Anaheim Ducks versus Nashville Predators at Honda Center. This is this Friday, plus 2 hot dogs and 2 beers. You got to be 21 or over. You'd be caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. You win those tickets. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers, and join us tomorrow morning. Got a bunch of Halloween music for you, and we have Rob Reiner is going to be on the program tomorrow. Do you think he knows that? Rob Reiner.
I can't. There must be some scheduling error.
Director of LBJ. He will be joining us tomorrow as well.